about.
And tonight, I am going to take you on a journey that you will never forget. You'd better get your ones and twos out of the way, because it is going to be a long car drive, and we are not stopping for bathroom breaks.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
B.I.G.
The worst thing about Halloween is, of course, candy corn. It's unbelievable to me. Candy corn is the only candy in the history of America that's never been advertised. And there's a reason. All of the candy corn that was ever made was made in 1911.
It's vulgar, it's violent, and it's very, very popular.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean show. It is Thursday, the 23rd of October.
You didn't sound completely convinced of that.
Not the Thursday part, that's for sure. I had to think about it.
Should I try again? Or
No. Okay. That was fine. Right. I'm just saying, you're cool.
You're all right.
Your wits are about you?
I'm good with that. My wits are about me. You're cute.
By the way, Lewis Black goes on to report that the day after Halloween, the candy corn companies just go and just lift the candy corn that's been thrown away out of everybody's trash and dumpsters and then repackages it and resells it every year. Because they haven't made any since 1911, is his theory.
It's a good reason. Yeah.
The best.
Yeah.
Hey, how about a little How Does the Story End to get us going here this morning?
How does the story end, my friend? How does the story end?
I'm always fascinated to see the results of court cases and try to imagine, you know, not having as many facts as the people in the courtroom, but just trying to speculate onto what my ruling would have been had I been the judge or been on the jury for that case.
All right.
And this is a pretty interesting one.
Guilty.
Yeah.
He actually was guilty. Yes, Kevin. In fact, he's already in jail, but he did sue from behind bars. The man's name is Anthony Warren.
And how does the story end?
Not yet.
To that part. Back in 2008, he was being chased by narcotics officers. Well, they didn't intend to chase him. They intended to arrest him, but he decided to hit the road, and a police chase ensued. So you would have loved this. It was a high-speed car chase that went on for 20 to 25 minutes. It involved multiple cities. He hit a school bus.
Oh,
he
man.
Hit a patrol car. And the biggest problem for him is that he attempted to run over a police officer who was laying down tire puncture strips along U.S. 31. So he hit that officer, kept on going. He was finally arrested only after his vehicle flipped over. And the police dashboard camera, and Lisa, you've got a great memory, you might even remember this, the police dashboard camera became national news as the video showed officers striking the man as he lay on the ground.
Yeah.
They were kicking him as he was laying on the ground. Now, his attorneys claimed that he was unconscious at the time, but they did not prove at the trial that the officers knew of his condition or whether he was unconscious or not. So during the chase, he endangered the lives of lots of civilians, obviously, and police officers. And he eventually was convicted and went to jail on a number of charges, including evading the police, including the narcotics charges, and the most serious one, attempted murder of intentionally hitting the police officer.
How does the story end?
He was found guilty.
He was found guilty, and he has been in jail, as I mentioned, since 2008. So he sued from behind bars. He sued under federal civil rights laws and also sued the state, asserting state claims for assault and battery against the five police officers. All right?
All right.
The state charges were thrown out. The federal charges were settled yesterday. I want to know from each of you how much the plaintiff got and also how much the attorneys in the case got.
Oh, interesting.
How much did the plaintiff get and how much did his attorneys get? The case has been settled.
Well, I think obviously he got some money because there was no point in five officers beating him.
Right.
I mean,
right.
That was clearly because they were super pissed.
And I know we always talk about, we got to remember, yeah, you're right. They can't do that. You also have to remember, it's understandable why they did,
yes.
Because He's an animal.
Yeah, he's trying to run them down.
They're human beings. He hit one of their guys on purpose and led them on a high-speed chase for 25. You can imagine the adrenaline,
yep.
And you can imagine how angry they were when they finally caught that bastard.
So the state threw it out.
That's right.
Okay, so that tells me that...
Federal settlement.
I'm going to go... this story's only interesting if it's super high or super low, so yeah. I'm going to go low. I'm going to say $1 each.
All right, so a dollar for Mr. Warren, a dollar for his attorney is probably split five ways.
It's kind of like a slap in the face settlement.
Well, I haven't heard about this, so if it was a lot of money, you'd think you would have heard, but I'm just going to go the other way and say he got $500,000 and his attorney's got, I don't know, what would they get? $5 million.
Okay. All right. Good guess.
So the plaintiff would get $500,000 and the lawyers would get $5 million.
Yes, because they always make more.
How does the story end? I think we already guessed.
Finally, Beerbug. Oh, no. Really?
This is tough. I'm going to say $200 billion each.
Another good guess.
Well, I mean, technically, Lisa is right in the spirit. Her numbers were a little bit off. The attorneys for Mr. Warren got $459,000.
Oh. I thought you were going into the millions. Okay.
No, $459,000. Anthony Warren from behind bars will be able to spend in the prison cafeteria $1,000.
What?
$1,000 for him, $459,000 for his attorneys.
Why did they split it up that way?
Under the terms of the settlement approved by the city council and Mayor William Bell, Anthony Warren will receive $1,000 while his attorneys receive $359,000 in fees and $100,000 in expenses. That is what they were able to negotiate with the feds.
Nice.
Pays to be an attorney, doesn't it?
Yeah. But if the feds are in control of it and they're giving the guy $1,000, why can't they just tell the lawyers to take a hike?
Because they're paying attorney's fees. Since they've admitted fault, I think they probably have to pay attorney's fees.
Oh, because they paid the guy $1,000?
Yeah.
I think so, too. And also remember, the government doesn't care how much money they spend. It's not like they look at that and go, oh, that's a lot. We don't want to spend that. They just go,
that
what
hurts.
The hell?
I can't go to dinner tonight. Nope, that doesn't happen.
Yeah. With the government, they just go, hey, we need more money. We'll print more money.
Right.
So, but imagine how ticked off Anthony Ward is behind bars.
Yeah, $1,000.
With his $1,000.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
He's just spending that on gum.
Anyway, that's how the story ends.
A lot of cigarettes. That's how the story ends. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
We're not really doing this, right?
We talked recently about OCD, people had OCD. And man, do we get a lot of calls when we have that.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And we got the doctor got in contact with us, Dr. Shayna Doran, and she specializes in OCD, and we're going to talk to her today.
Okay. That should be really interesting.
About what OCD is, and is it possible to, you know,
cure it?
Yeah. I need to know.
Somehow diminish it? Yes, you do. We have another doctor on the program, Dr. Drew.
Mm-hmm. Not a real doctor.
He is. He's a TV doctor, though.
Yeah, TV doctor. Yeah. His diploma on the wall is a prop.
I haven't checked that yet. Online dating disasters.
Fantastic.
I don't know if you saw the story. It is local. There was a woman that was trying to get into a guy's house that she had met online, and she tried to go down the chimney, and they had called the fire department because she got stuck. And then they had to take the chimney apart piece by piece until they could get her, and then they poured soap down it so she would slip out.
Oh, my God.
It looked like it was an hour job or more to get her out of the chimney. Jeez.
Every year you see people get stuck in chimneys, and I don't know why anybody ever thinks that it's going to work. Is it just because of Santa? Is that why they think, oh, I can do it. If he's fat, he can do it. I can do it. Because I've never one time heard of a story of somebody breaking into somebody's house or being able to get into a home that was locked through the chimney, ever. Not one time.
Yeah, it's never happened. We would just have to be guessing, but I would guess that's it.
Yeah, that does make sense.
How could he was fat. How could I not get in? We also have a feature that we like to bring back every once in a while called "Let's Make Fun of Bean." So that's good.
Okay,
I hope we don't have time for that. We have a K-Rock listener in quotes named Cindy who went to Tadoff Swindler's house.
She was part of the 1989 Secret Sessions. Taylor Swift hand-selected fans in several cities to come to her home and hear the new album ahead of its release.
Mm-hmm.
What's that like? Sounds fun.
It is. Of course it's fun,
there was
Lisa.
Cookies.
That's terrible.
And dancing.
Not fun.
You say that because it's Taylor Swift, but
if
Dave Grohl invited people to his home and baked for him and played the new album, you would think it was awesome.
Of course. That's the entire difference. Foo Fighters, a 10. Taylor Swift, a negative 10.
But not to her fans, though.
Ugh.
To her fans, that's a pretty good deal.
Here's what I'm saying.
That's delightful.
Ugh.
It is delightful.
So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
Hey, that was Vampire Weekend.
Yes, it was.
Vampire Weekend. Mm-hmm.
And now it's Ralph Garman.
Yes, it is.
Ralph Garman.
Ralph Garman.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Good morning, boys and girls. Well, Melissa Rivers won't be eating Top Ramen anytime soon now that her dear mother, Joan Rivers, has departed.
Oh, yeah.
New York Post Daily News, the New York Post Page 6, rather, is reporting that Joan Rivers left Melissa $75 million.
Wow.
From her estate and their $35 million New York apartment.
Wow.
So that's a lot of stuff.
Just for the record, having money is no reason to not eat Top Ramen. Top Ramen is good.
Is this a children's menu? I would eat that anyway.
If I had $75 million, I would still eat Top Ramen.
No, you wouldn't.
I would.
Why would you?
Because
that's
I like
what people
it.
Eat when they're dirt poor and that's all they can afford.
I like it.
It's ass. It's salty ass.
I like salty ass.
They were the True Blood. They did a great job.
I like it.
The thing that I always think when I see a story like this is somebody's got $75 million worth of assets and is still working as often and as hard as Joan Rivers was. That's the surprise to me. Like, why don't people retire?
She loved working. Yeah, you saw that documentary.
Some
she
people like their jobs, Bean.
Some people do enjoy working.
Yes. Some people are doing what they love.
Hmm. But
By the way, this job is better than being retired? This job has been what Bean's loved his whole life.
Right.
But he's not happy.
He still doesn't want to do it.
It doesn't work.
I'm just saying, like many Americans, if I won the big lottery, and I don't play the lottery, but if I won the $100 million or something
you're
like
winning,
that,
you're slim then.
Right, yeah. True. I wouldn't have any problem with not working, though. It seems like not working would be a pretty good way to go in the world. Right?
I think everybody thinks that, but I know myself, I know Ralph, I know Lisa probably. We would love it for a month.
Yeah.
And then you start going, what do I do? I need something to fill up my time.
I would work harder if I had more money.
Because you'd be just doing things you love.
I would be writing and producing and directing and acting
it.
And stuff. I would never stop working.
Yeah.
I would be so much busier than I am now if I had all that money. I wouldn't be like some people just hoarding their chocolate milk sitting in the basement.
You're going to need to join us in about 10 minutes, Ralph, as we make fun of Bean.
Wearing their shoebox slippers. Growing their fingernails long. Peeing
in
jars.
Pretty good way to go. Nice work if you can get it.
Doesn't seem like it to me.
You're lunatic. Lindsay Lohan! She's the best girl ever. She is now lobbying for a political candidate in South America.
What?
I don't know.
A political candidate in South America.
Yes, she's an American working now in England, lobbying for political candidates in South America. Sent out a tweet this week in support of Aécio Neves, a presidential hopeful in Brazil.
She
tweeted in support of him, saying he will bring positive changes to Brazil. Here's the thing. Mr. Neves isn't exactly squeaky clean. A helicopter he owns was recently seized by the federal police of Brazil because it was carrying 4.5 tons of cocaine.
Ah, that's the Lindsay connection.
Now we understand why Lindsay likes
it.
I got
it.
It's part of the Coke party.
I got you.
She's a member of
guy.
The Coke party.
The Coke party.
I approve this message. And there's a slate of these events happening lately. A spate or a slate?
I think it's a spate.
Spate.
I don't know either.
A bunch of these events happening. Celebrities are having to jump out of cars to vomit. Recently, it was the kid from One Direction by the side of the road on the 101. Now it's Nicole Scherzinger.
Wow.
She was in London, and she had to jump out of her limousine at Central London this week because she had to vomit. The chauffeur being a gallant gentleman, hopped out to help his client, forgot to put the vehicle in park, and the limo proceeded to go forward and smash into another vehicle. So the situation was not made better by his help.
Ralph, you will appreciate this, but the World Series are going on right now, and Tim Lincecum, who's one of the one of the great giant pitchers, he was not in the starting lineup that was introduced on the field ahead of Game 1 in Kansas City the other night because he was in the locker room vomiting right before the game.
Sweet.
There you go.
A lot of vomiting going on.
Ebola, man.
Yeah.
Ebola.
Could be the Ebola. Somebody ought to check
on that. Don't touch your friends. By the way, speaking of baseball in the World Series, ratings are in. The first game of the World Series was the least watched World Series game in modern history.
Now, are the kids applauding for the baseball or for the low ratings?
It's time for us to let baseball go. That's what America is saying, basically. Enough is enough. Let's stop it. So lowest ratings in the history of televised baseball.
It's not worth putting it on if only 12 million people watch it.
That's right.
That's what you say.
That's right. Because 12 million people apparently will watch anything. Whatever they would put in that slot, people would have watched.
Well, people it has a lot of things
4 million people watch
it.
Selfie, okay? Against it. They were 4 million people would rather watch Selfie than to watch the World Series.
It has a lot of things going against it.
Yes. One, it's baseball.
One, it's baseball, okay. And that's absolutely true for a lot of people. Two, it's
baseball.
It's Kansas City. You know, it's not like having the Red Sox in the World Series or something like that. The Giants have a fan base, but not nothing like a Yankees or a Red Sox.
And
fan
it's
base.
Baseball.
And three, it was on a Monday night against football, right?
And it's baseball.
And it's also baseball, yeah.
Right. So I'm just saying. We all know that. We all can agree it's time to let that sport go, right?
Look, I'm down with that.
All right, then. I'll get right on that. I'm going to call.
Excellent.
Budweiser. What's his name?
That's right. That's the commissioner, Budweiser, yeah.
Get him on the phone.
All I know is I watched last night's game and enjoyed it very much and was glad it was on TV.
Look, even more of a reason. If Agreed. Bean enjoys it, it can't be good. We've always said that. For years we've said, if Bean likes it, it can't be good. Speaking of which, as we look at celebrity birthdays, all these stars were born on today, the 23rd of Rocktober! Running out of time.
Sure are.
Singer Weird Al Yankovic celebrates his 55th birthday. We were saying in the office how sad it is that Bean ruins the birthdays of nice people.
He does.
Because ordinarily we would like to celebrate Weird Al's birthday.
Why? Because I'm excited and happy?
No, but you make that little girl noise when she sees a puppy. And that drives us all crazy.
It is fingernails on the
Come on!
I will
it's
try
Weird
to,
Al!
I will try to contain that.
You can just say, I like him. You don't have to go,
I'll work on that.
He does that too.
Yeah. Director Sam Raimi is 55 years old today. Actor Ryan Reynolds is 38. Jessica Stroop is 28 years old today. And Kat Dealy, host of So You Think You Can Dance, also from Hulu's Deadbeat, 38 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Doug Benson joins us next hour in studio on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll be talking to him, among other things, about the Festival Supreme happening this weekend and give you some tickets for that. Also, Universal Studios Halloween Horror Nights tickets on the way today. And don't forget, at 9 o'clock, you can win your way into the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball with 30 Seconds to Mars, which is 1 week from tonight at the Fonda Theater. Details at KRock.com.
Let's do this.
It's time to make fun of Bean. Make fun of Bean.
Again.
Bean has a lot of milk issues. Have you ever met anybody that has milk issues? Ralph?
Nope.
No,
Lisa?
Really?
No.
As a beverage, milk is usually pretty easygoing.
Straightforward?
People drink it or don't drink it.
You don't have it? No biggie. You right. go get it. Yeah. Or you get it the next day or whatever.
Yeah.
Bean has a lot of issues, and I've been writing down things at InfoBeam, but this won't wait. Because yesterday he said, I'm going to go get some chocolate milk.
Well, you know he loves his chocolate milk.
Then it continued.
And by the way, before you go on, I have to ask. I do love chocolate milk. I'm not joking, but I feel like that's a tremendous burn on you people who are working in an office who don't have a chocolate milk readily available. Is it?
No. Because we do have hot chocolate available.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How you like us now?
And well, I have hot chocolate too, but I'm not eight. which also makes a big difference. So I will go get I'll go get a cup of coffee or a water or something.
Take some of the fun out of it for me if I don't if I can't hear your hearts breaking that I have chocolate milk and you don't.
Let me continue because that wasn't the end of the thanks at Info Bean. He goes, you know what I do? No one said anything. I usually take my chocolate milk and I mix it with real milk. I'd say about 70% real milk, 30% chocolate milk. And I think Lisa or somebody said, why?
Lisa. That was Muggs.
Muggs said, why?
That was not that. Me.
And then Bean followed it up with, you'd be surprised how long I could make a jar of chocolate milk last. And I was like, how long do you need chocolate milk to last? I mean, were you poor as a kid, Bean, and your brother used to pour yourself a glass of chocolate milk and your brother would punch you in the head and take it? What kind of milk trauma do you have going on?
There's no milk trauma.
Why do you need to make your chocolate milk last so long?
Well,
are times that rough? Do we need to have a bake sale for you?
No.
Did the Twitter stock plummet or something and you lost your vast fortune?
Did you not say you wouldn't believe how long I could make my chocolate milk last?
I did. That's an aside, though. That's a benefit to the real reason that you would cut your chocolate milk with and not even regular milk, by the way, with low-fat milk.
Okay.
Is my girlish figure can't stand all those calories. I can't just drink straight up chocolate milk. I would be a blob if that was my life. So there's less calories involved in cutting it with fat-free milk.
But how much less in one glass of chocolate milk?
Not enough to make a difference.
Have you figured it out?
Do you go 30?
No, I haven't.
So it's what, 35 less calories? Just shut
something
up.
Something like that.
Just drink the milk.
Drink your effing milk and shut up.
Pour the milk, drink the milk. You don't need to cut it. You don't need to mix it
in the lab with your beakers and your white coat with your eye protective eyewear.
And remember,
mixing your freaking low-fat chocolate concoction. Just drink the milk.
But guys,
and remember, the first thing we found out was that he hides the chocolate milk from his wife.
He hoards it. And don't forget the very first thing we found out, which is he takes almost sour spoiled milk and adds chocolate to it to make it palatable so he can drink the spoiled milk by putting chocolate in it.
That is absolutely true. Bean said when milk's going bad, if you add chocolate to it,
you don't taste the bad.
And that's true.
Right.
But you're drinking sour milk.
If it's not sour, it doesn't really matter.
Bean, if you have chocolate milk and you have sour milk, why not just drink the chocolate milk?
The milk that's not bad.
Let's not mask the taste of the milk that's turning and just drink the completely fresh chocolate milk instead. Excellent point, Lisa. No, Lisa, you have your favorite milk available, which would be a choice rather than taking the slightly turned milk that you're trying to mask the flavor of.
I've never met anybody that has milk issues. Four or five. Different times.
The president of La Leche has less milk issues than you do.
So if I'm Bean and I'm that obsessed with it, I get two regular and two chocolate. I go crazy.
Right?
And put both in my fridge.
And one sour. Don't forget one sour just to mix things up and keep it interesting.
Unbelievable. Do you not have chocolate milk on the island? Or
No, I have chocolate milk. I've got it.
Well, so
I've got it.
Why?
Let it go, man.
Just let it go. Just look, here's what you do with chocolate milk. You drink it or you don't.
But most importantly, you shut the F up about it.
By the way, I don't want to make this more complicated because we're out of time. But now it's eggnog season. And now I've got a whole other set of problems in terms of how to mix up the eggnog with the other milks.
No, you
so
don't.
You can cut the calories. Eggnog
yeah,
and
exactly.
Right. Here's my answer for you. Just half a glass. Done.
No, that's too simple.
I don't want to end up looking like beer mug, you guys. I got to be careful.
You're going to do that with a half a glass of eggnog?
Who knows, man?
Honestly, why are you like this? I'm not kidding.
You don't want to lose your lucrative emaciated corpse modeling contract.
It's time to make fun of Bean. Make fun of Bean.
Again. So we live in a world now where if something's not for you, it shouldn't be for anybody, right? That's where we're at.
Pretty much.
Yeah, so if there's a TV show on that you find offensive, the goal is to get the network to remove that show so that other people who might like it do not have the ability to watch it.
Well, again, I would say
that's spot on.
Right.
Well, that's apparently how it is, because here's a Florida mom named Susan Shiver who complained to Toys R Us that they were selling Breaking Bad action figures, and Toys R Us responded by pulling them from the stores. Because of that complaint... Now, her petition did receive more than 9,000 signatures, and I don't know how that compares to how many people actually expressed positive feelings about the Breaking Bad action figures, but the store just decided it wasn't worth the heat, so they pulled it. They pulled the plug on the product. They don't sell it anymore.
We don't know how many of those people actually saw them either. It's most likely just an email thing that went around to...
Brian Cranston tweeted, Florida mom petition against Toys R Us over Breaking Bad action figures. I'm so mad, I'm burning my Florida mom action figure in protest.
Maybe this toy isn't for everyone. Maybe it's not for your kid. It is a Breaking Bad doll complete with a detachable sack of cash and a bag of meth. Maybe that's not what all parents want their kids to play with.
And it's real meth.
That's right? It's Florida. It probably is. But shouldn't that be a parent-by-parent decision?
I would think so.
Now, if you wanted to buy this for your kids, you couldn't. I hate it when I see corporations fold like this. But we wanted to find out more about this story. We asked Dave, who can we talk to? We have a Toys R Us spokesperson on the line. This is Mr. Jonathan Baker joining us on the Kevin DeMeade Show. Hi, Mr. Baker. Thanks for the time today, sir.
Good morning. Thank you.
So you've heard what we had to say about this. Maybe you can tell us why Toys R Us decided to pull the toy.
Well, first of all, let us say in defense of the... of the action figure, and also the initial decision by Toys R Us to carry and feature the action figure, that it was a clearly marked action figure, a collectible action figure for adults, for adult collectors. You know, there are a lot of adult collectors out there now who collect action figures who are made in likenesses of some of their favorite projects, and it's not necessarily for children.
Right. Okay, just because it looks like a toy doesn't mean it's meant for kids.
Right, this was clearly marked for 15 years of age and older, and it was in the aisle for adult collectors' collectibles at the store. So
then why did you pull it?
Well, there were 9,000 signatures on this particular petition created by Susan Myers, and Christmas is a-coming.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And obviously that's a big part of our business, and we didn't want to do anything that would upset the parents of Florida or the people who buy toys at Toys R Us who think it should be, the entire store should be more child-friendly.
Well, as Lisa pointed out, though, you don't know the legitimacy of most of those signatures. I mean, a lot of people will just sign on to anything just because they're, in this case, maybe conservative or something like that. They might not even personally had a problem with it. And the toy being available nationwide, it has the potential for millions of customers.
That's true, but it's one toy.
Right.
And we sell a lot of toys. And
right.
If their one toy is potentially upsetting, I'm sorry. This is hard.
What?
I just hate this bitch. This is just God. Oh, damn it. Oh.
Well, it sounded like you were at peace with this decision.
I'm not at peace with it.
All right.
Okay. This Florida. She's from Florida.
She is from Florida.
God knows what she does in her real life.
Right.
But she says, "Oh, kids mimic action figures. Do you want your child in an orange jumpsuit? Yeah. If a kid plays with one of these toys, he's going to start making meth. That's the connection she's making.
Well, that is what she's saying. Yes.
What the hell? And then my company says, "Oh yeah, pull these out of the shelves." And it's my job to go on radio shows like yours and defend this decision. It's madness.
So you completely, disagree with this decision entirely.
Who are you talking to right now? Who it is you think you see? You know how much I make a year? I mean, even if I told you, you wouldn't believe it.
Right.
You know what would happen if I suddenly decided to stop going into work? A business big enough that it could be listed on the NASDAQ goes belly up. Disappears.
Right.
It ceases to exist without me. No, you clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in.
Uh-oh.
I am not in danger, Kevin and Bean. I am the danger.
Right.
A guy opens his door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No! I am the one who knocks! Ah! Ah! Ah!
figure. Okay.
Hello?
And don't forget, Toys R Us is having their pre-Christmas sale.
Okay. We were having a conversation off the air the other day about how few television commercials there are that you will actually sit and watch. You will actually you stop your DVR from fast-forwarding to the show that you're watching to actually watch the commercial because you enjoy it so much.
Well, and here's the other issue. Things that you watch live that you really need to see when they come out, like for me, that's Walking Dead. I need to watch it in real time.
And most sports.
Sports. Same thing. So you have to watch the commercials. And when one comes along that you like, you go, all right.
Yeah.
This is such a welcome relief. I don't want to set the world on fire. I'm good.
I'll tell you that those Judy Greer commercials of her sitting around the table with her family.
Yeah.
Those are commercials that I stop and watch almost every single time.
For what product?
That's the thing. I have no idea. I think it's a cell phone company, isn't it?
A sofa company?
Cell phone.
It's a cell phone carrier, yeah.
Carrier, yeah.
It's Verizon.
I don't get those at all. I don't get them. I love them, too.
Yesterday, we had Craig Robinson in.
Craig Robinson.
And we asked him about his commercials for the Dodge Dart, with Jake Johnson. And those are hilarious to me. I love watching those. They're actually entertaining.
Yeah. And he says he gets – you weren't here yesterday, Ralph, but he says he gets recognized for those Dodge Dart commercials more than anything he's ever done, including The Office and the Hot Tub Time Machine.
Yes.
That's the impact that his appearance in those ads are.
Yes.
And you've got one that has caught your attention recently, Ralph.
Well, I've been talking about her for some time now, and I just think we have to use the power of the Kevin and Bean Show for evil, and we have to have her in because I need to tell her I love her. And that is – my new commercial crush. You know, I've had commercial crushes over the years. Remember the girl, the Pepsi girl?
Yes.
Remember the girl in the Pepsi commercial?
Oh, yeah.
We had a crush on her. let's not forget my girl from the Carl's Jr. commercial. Remember?
That's right. Yes.
We had her in.
That's right. Based only on that word.
Thanks.
For the most part.
Whatever she said in that commercial. Yeah. It was the best commercial ever. But now I think, and I'm finding I'm not alone here, because every time I bring it up, every guy I talk to goes, me too!
Yep.
That they're also in love with Lily from the AT&T commercials.
Oh, Lily.
Lily. Who is the she works there in the AT&T store, and everybody comes in. She meets and greets them and takes care of their needs, whether they're a team of realtors or Grant Hill or the guy current guy who she's reading his mind because he wants the new iPhone. Every time she's in the store, something good happens. And Lily is perfect, and we all love Lily.
I was introduced to her with the Gordon Ramsay one.
That's
chef?
A great one, too. Yeah. The crazy chef from Hell's Kitchen. He says, usually this is when I start throwing things. And she goes, that's terrifying.
So I'm getting exactly what I want then.
Appears so.
Now, I'm not too sure what to do with my arms right now because this is where I usually start throwing things.
Oh, that's terrifying.
She's adorable.
She is adorable.
Lily!
Now, have you been to her website yet, Ralph?
Have I what?
Have you been to her website?
There's a Lily website?
Melana Weintraub is the name, Weintraub, I should say, is the name of the actress, and she's done quite a bit of work. You can love her on TV shows like The House of Lies and Californication. She's been on The League. She's been on Key and Peele. She's been on all sorts of stuff.
All right, don't pretend that Lily isn't real, okay? And that she's just some actress who's playing her.
Well, it is an actress.
No, they went to an AT&T store and they found Lily just working there, taking care of people.
So do you spend your days after the show every day just driving all over Southern California, going to all the AT&T stores
so you
can find hers?
Well, I figure she must
hers?
Work locally, right? Because that's where they would shoot the commercials here. So if there was, she would probably be at the AT&T store somewhere near
here. How many
here.
Did you go to yesterday? And is that why you weren't here?
I was busy. I didn't have to hit a baker's dozen in the morning before they get busy because I figured she wouldn't have time to talk to me then.
I wonder what the casting is like for a role like that. You're on screen for, you know, for less 30 seconds or less, and you just have to be so captivating and adorable that it makes people fall in love with you.
Yes.
Sign us up.
Maybe we sign you up at the store after this.
Right, because this is the
food court. Yeah, it's the food court.
You'll be happy to know, Ralph, that your new girlfriend, Melana, speaks fluent Russian.
Well, sure she does, because she has to deal with all those Russian customers who come into the AT&T store.
She also does Slavic, Mexican, New York, and Southern dialects. She's very athletic. She's into boxing, biking, swimming, skiing, golf, and wave running. Her dance skills include Latin dancing and fire dancing.
Stop it.
Same.
She's got a lot going on.
She's not a fire dancer.
I fire dance with me. Here's another one.
Okay, so what's the catch?
There is no catch.
Okay, I'm obviously getting nowhere with you. I'm going to need to speak with the supervisor.
I am the supervisor.
Oh, finally, someone I can talk to.
Yeah, I think maybe that was the first one.
Oh, like, that was?
She's okay. So adorable. And she's the supervisor of that store, which means she has ambition. So she's trying to get ahead in the world. And she knows James Vanderbeek. Did you see the new one? She's talking to James Vanderbeek.
I don't think I did.
Yeah, she's talking to James Vanderbeek now. He's very impressed.
Oh, is he the one that wants celebrity treatment?
He's the deal that he's getting. He's getting celebrity treatment.
It's the same plan for everyone.
Right. No celebrity treatment here.
Really isn't any celebrity treatment.
Just a normal guy getting a great deal.
We're just saying it loudly for some reason.
Yes. AT&T, you should give Lily a
show.
No, you should give her a promotion. She should become like an executive with AT&T or something.
What I'm saying is she's an actress, Ralph.
Or
I'm
maybe she should manage a chain of AT&T stores, well, not just the one that she's currently
working
in.
Real life, she's not working at...
She doesn't work at AT&T.
They fired her? AT&T fired her?
No.
That's ridiculous. She was their best salesperson.
It's just a commercial that she films as an actress.
At the AT&T store where she works. So, I am going to go... I have AT&T. That's my cell
phone. Her name is Milana... Vaintrub. Bean told you that earlier.
Why is she wearing a name badge that says Lily on it?
I think it's a role. I mean, she did 4 years of the Upright Citizens Brigade. You don't need that to work for AT&T.
This isn't
role.
A
She's
movie or TV show. This is from the AT&T store. Okay. They shoot it in the store.
Ralph wants it to believe, and he wants it to be true.
I'm going to the AT&T store. Okay. Can I pick you up anything?
Please. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55.
If Ralph could hurry up, please, so we could get to the Kevin and Bean listener who went to Taylor Swift's house and hear that story, I would appreciate it.
Ralph, you take your sweet time.
I can't wait to meet this whore.
Why is she a whore? Because she's a fan of Taylor Swift?
Yes.
Yes.
She's awesome, and I'm super jealous.
That whole thing, by the way, that whole...
Why don't you save that? Do your thing here, then we'll talk to her about that.
No, because I'm not talking to this woman.
Yeah. We don't bring people on just to be mean.
Right. Why should she come on the show and then I'm going
to
just blast her for 10 minutes?
But
there's
the problem
nothing to
is,
blast her about.
But
she's
the problem
nice,
is Bean's
nice going to
be all over her. He's going to be like, oh, was it the greatest day of your life?
Well, let's go get a drink.
All right.
Kevin,
it probably
you, me,
was
we'll
go, the greatest day of
I
her
think
life.
They,
the
we bar need around little... the corner. We'll just split and let Kevin, let Bean just, gush and then we can come back and mop up.
We need
up.
To provide the balance to the other side, for God's sake.
Well, I think look, the listeners will do that when as they flip over to...
anything else.
There's no
Dan Patrick or whatever the hell they're listening to in the morning to the kids.
There's no
these
opposing
days.
Opposing point of view. It's an awesome thing for an artist to do for her fans. Period.
There is an opposing point of view. She's a hideous blow pig,
and the whole thing just stinks of artifice. Oh, come to my house. I'm going to bake you cookies and hug my awards, and let's take Polaroid selfies. Ah, blow me.
And we'll dance.
That's all lies.
So good.
Sounds pretty awesome.
It's all
if you're a Taylor Swift fan, though.
Manufactured crap.
So good.
Crap. I agree with that guy.
You know what else is crap? You know the boob twerking stripper? Sarah X, she did the famous video to Mozart with her boobs.
What with all the tattoos boom, we put at the internet around
her. Yeah.
With her pec muscles.
With her boobs dancing.
Yes. She's awesome.
She's getting death threats.
What?
Yes.
For doing that?
Yes. She's receiving death threats after her video.
Why?
Which millions of people have viewed.
If a woman puts her boobs on the internet, she should be celebrated.
That's what I'm saying.
She's fully clothed, too, by the way.
Yeah, she has a bikini top
on. She has a
on,
bikini top.
But she...
But it can't be that. It can't be that she's...
And it's a humorous video. It's not meant to be serious. It's her...
Death threats.
Death threats.
That's insane. You could not like it and not watch it. That's pretty much as far as you go, I think.
Most of the people have negative things to say about my character, my presumed profession, my past profession, my life decisions. They don't get the music. The video is meant to be humorous. They operate under the assumption I just wanted to show the world my boobs. But the reactions that really floored me were the incredibly detailed conspiracy theories from naysayers claiming it was fake.
What?
People, some people should not have access to the internet. That's what I
agree.
Accomplished.
That's awesome.
Just stop it. If you're threatening her life or you're claiming that it's fake and a conspiracy, just take yourself out.
I think we're running into way more 6 and 7 year olds than we think.
Maybe.
Online.
She says on the whole, though, her 15 minutes of fame have been fairly positive. In fact, she is not only using her video to raise attention to raise money for breast cancer research, but she has released a follow-up video set to dueling banjos. So, You can see that now online.
Awesome.
If you want to see her boobs dancing to Dueling Banjos. Speaking of boobs, Christina Ricci is back in the news. We talk about television. She's playing Lizzie Borden for Lifetime in a new limited series, which is a follow-up on last year's miniseries about Lizzie Borden. Lizzie Borden, The Fall River Chronicles, will air in 2015 and will take viewers further down her dark path, revealing what many people suspected about her mysterious life. I don't know what that means, but it sounds spooky.
I would have thought they would have covered most of what we know about Lizzie Borden in one TV movie.
Well, perhaps there's more there than you know. Was there someone in here from the police grilling criminals while I was gone yesterday?
Why? What do you mean?
Because the lights, the way they're set up in this room, I feel like I should be...
It is a spotlight.
...confessing to an armed robbery.
It's a complicated story.
What happened?
About half of our lights were out.
Right.
And so then people were standing up on the counter and pushing the ones that still work over toward the guests so that they could videotape.
I see.
And then I went and said, hey, how about if we replace a couple of the bulbs?
Right.
So they did that, and now it's
now
like...
Now my skin is blistering.
You're on the
That's
face.
That's all I'm telling you.
Ralph is on the face of the sun.
This is the brightest
it really is.
That anything has ever been.
That's true.
It's like living inside of a flashbulb.
We'll change it. We'll move around.
That would be helpful because
my
retinas cannot take the intense light any longer. I'm going blind as we speak.
We had that band Milky Chance in yesterday.
Ah, Milky Chance.
And they
Chance.
Were performing live, so I think they were trying to shoot some video for KROQ.com.
I understand that. Were they being grilled for some crime?
Well,
because that's the only... This lighting is only suitable for grilling suspects.
Ah. Yeah, well, they're German, so they probably are guilty of something.
It does look like the one bulb that's in your face is like 10 times as
Matthew
bright as
McConaughey both. And Woody Harrelson should be in here asking me if I did something bad to kids.
All right. Time's a flat circle. We all did this before. We're all going to do it again.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Sam Raimi, very talented director, is 55 years old today. Actor Ryan Reynolds, 38 years old.
The Green Lantern.
Mm-hmm. Not for much longer.
Oh, that's a good one.
Kat Dealy. I love her. She is adorable on Deadbeat. And, of course, as the host of So You Think You Can Dance, 38 years old. Jessica Stroop is 28 years old. And Weird Al Yankovic celebrates his 55th birthday. Wow, Beans.
All right.
Beans holding
Not
it together.
Not a word. I backed off.
Beans
no
holding
gasps.
It together. All right. Weird Al Yankovic celebrates his 55th birthday.
Well, then we'll play a song
today.
Then for you.
With aluminum foil. Never settle for less. That kind of wrap is just the best. To keep your sandwich nice and fresh. Stick it in your cooler.
Like a pet, you get a treat, Bean. When you're good,
they won't play that song in San Francisco until the series is over.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
dumbest thing ever.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What were you just playing there? What disparaging remarks are you making?
Oh,
about
that
Cindy?
Was Nirvana. Dumb.
How dare you? Cindy is living the dream. She's the luckiest person I know.
I would like to, before we begin this break, I know a lot of people can't tell Bean and I apart, and that's not your fault. We sound pretty much alike.
I'm the one who's right in this case.
And but Bean. I want to be clear in this case, because this is Kevin speaking, and to me, her name is Tadolf Swindler.
How
I can't stand
you.
Anything about her. I can't stand her music. I find her 100% fake. Bean... is the one.
I'm a Swifty.
Oh, God. Enough said. just so everybody knows, that's
Look,
Bean.
She's an awesome person.
Yeah, she is an
she's
awesome
a great
person.
Artist. And she, no one in music today is better to her fans than Taylor Swift is. Part of the promotion for the new album, which comes out on Monday, called 1989, is that Taylor hand-selected herself. She went through the internet and looked at the posts of a bunch of her fans, and she hand-selected 89 people in various cities to come to her home for a dance party. Where she literally danced with her fans, where she made them chocolate chip cookies, where they got a chance to listen to the new album ahead of it coming out. Who does that with their fans? Who has their fans over to their home to host a party for them?
Nobody, because it reeks of promotional setup, photo op.
Or does
Nobody
it,
does that.
Or does it reek of, this is how appreciative I am of my fans and
no.
how special they are to me and what a great experience I want to give
That's
them.
That's the point she's trying to get across. Yes, but I All don't right. believe that it's real.
Let's talk to Cindy, who is on the line with us now, who is not only a Kevin and Bean listener, but also a big Taylor Swift fan, like any good thinking American would be. And
Cindy,
she was,
you can't have both. You're on the fence. You got to pick.
She was one of the people who got to go to Taylor's house. Hi, Cindy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. So you've heard what we had to say. What do you? What's your reaction when you hear people talk like the bad man Kevin is talking?
It's just like her song, Haters Gonna Hate.
Yeah.
And I love Bean for supporting her. I also believe what he says, like any normal thinking person would love her.
Right. Now, what about what Kevin says, that the whole thing is fake, it's just a photo op to make her look good, and that she's not sincere when she opens up her home to you, the fans? What do you make of that?
Yeah, I mean, I get that, like, it looks like a whole promotion thing, but I think, like, no matter what, no artist is going to let you in their home, you know? That's like
right.
A big...
There's
big thing.
A big reason for that, because they
I
don't...
mean, let's make no mistake. It is a promotional. It is a promotional event. I'm not denying that it's a promotional event for her album. It generated a tremendous amount of talk on the internet,
huh?
But that doesn't make it
well
bad
played.
Or wrong.
Well played.
Tell us about the experience, Cindy. What was it like that day?
It was great because we had no idea what we're doing. I figured it maybe has been like a music video shoot or something because. They basically just told us it was an exclusive opportunity. The Taylor fan club had contacted us through Twitter. And mm-hmm. So I figured, yeah, maybe I'll get to see her from 5 feet away or something. But that would have been cool, too. And just imagine, I guess, to meet the person that you admire the most. And, like, it was a big thing. I think, like, meeting her... maybe at a meet and greet would have been really different. And I think the fact that we got to meet her because she chose us, that was like the cool part for it.
Uh-huh. And so you're in her house. How's that, by the way?
It was wonderful. It was very Taylor-like. I think when we
awesome.
Got there, they didn't really tell us where we were yet. They just told us that we were going to meet Taylor, but they didn't really specify that it was her house. So we kind of peeked through the window. They left us in the backyard for a little bit, and she had food for us. She had food, drinks, and all that. And we just kind of peeked through, and we saw her Grammys, saw her VMAs, and we're like, I'm pretty sure this is her house.
Oh, my gosh, 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 oh, my gosh.
Let her talk. Let Cindy talk.
So at some point, they let you into the living room, I guess, and that's when Taylor shows up and everybody just goes crazy?
She still hadn't showed up, so they had us all sit in the living room, and it was a pretty nice little cozy space. And then we saw her parents pop out, and we freaked out. And then she finally popped out, and we just lost it.
When you say popped out, what you just mean she showed up?
Yeah, she came around the corner because there's a little hallway where she just was able to just pop out. Literally.
Okay.
So, I'm not having fun anymore. I feel you should know that.
How much time did you get to spend at Taylor's house?
We got to listen to her whole album, which was about 2-3 hours. And then we got to just mingle with her. And I would say about 4 or 5 hours there.
I'm not having fun anymore. I feel you should
All
know
right,
that.
Yeah, enough from you, Kevin and Stewie. Tell me about you meeting Taylor. At some point, you had a conversation with her because I saw the picture that
yeah.
you tweeted of you standing
oh,
next
yeah.
to her holding her Grammy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when she was passing out her cookies for our intermission.
Is that code?
During that time. Huh?
It's that code.
Sorry,
the actual cookies that she baked
yeah,
in her kitchen.
Actually cookies, yeah. This was a nice little PG-13 activity. Anyway, and she passed out cookies, and each cookie she passed out, she would talk to a small group of people, and just, it was really like just going to your best friend's birthday party, just her making her round to talk to all the guests. And then at the taking pictures portion, she spent as much time with you as whatever you wanted to get out to tell her, like, got to tell her whatever I wanted. So,
Cindy, I know we asked you to come on the air, but this has been going on for 2 days now.
We've talked over like 5 minutes.
I swear to God, this started yesterday morning.
Cindy, let me ask you this, because I've had the opportunity to meet Taylor Swift a couple times and have passed on it, because I don't know what I would say if I were standing next to her.
Holy
I literally do not know what I would say, and I would be too freaked out. I'm sure you gave it a lot of thought as it was getting to be your time to meet her. What did you end up talking to her about?
You know what it reminds me of? I'm thinking of it. It reminds me a little of a waste of time.
Let her answer, Kevin. Go ahead, Cindy.
It's okay, Kevin. One day you will come around.
The point is, this is pretty f-ing boring, so could you kill each other?
So what'd you talk to Taylor about, Cindy?
Well, I was also speechless. There were some girls crying. I was one of those people who just was speechless and really didn't know how to react.
Bean would have been one of the criers. I guarantee you that. I guarantee if Bean was there, he would have cried.
I still didn't really process it through my mind, so I was just blabbering about things. I don't know.
You don't even know. It was just a blur.
Yeah. And I know, people are worried to meet their hero because they might not be as they thought they would be.
Mm-hmm.
But in my case, she was everything I thought and even more, like just better than I would ever.
Oh, my God. Who the hell cares?
It's so weird, Cindy, because, I mean, we have celebrities in here every single day of the week. I mean, I talk to famous people for a living. Yet I still don't know what I would say to Taylor Swift.
That's funny. I don't recall asking for a really, 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 really boring story. My God. Don't you understand? No one cares.
So we're out of time, Cindy, but you are living the dream.
We're way out of time.
You're living the dream. You're going to see Taylor on Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight, right?
Don't be so boring.
Yeah, I am.
Okay. And you just turned 24 yesterday.
Yes, I did. So this was a great birthday present. Thank you, Kevin and Bean.
Happy birthday, Cindy. I'm glad you shared our story, and it sounds like it was awesome, and I'm so jealous, and let's stay friends forever, okay?
Yes, we will, and hopefully Kevin will convert one day.
Nope.
I was so bored.
I hung up on her. I'm sorry.
Oh, come on.
Well, look.
It's my friend Cindy.
Look, if it's good enough for Paul McCartney, it's good enough for her.
This year's Festival Supreme concert is bigger and better than ever. It's going to be Saturday night at the Shrine Expo Hall and grounds an unbelievable lineup, including Tenacious D and Cheech and Chong and Drunk History and Workaholics and Bill Hader and The State and Scott Aukerman and so many more. We couldn't get any of those, but we do have Doug Benson, ladies and gentlemen, who stops by on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Doug.
Hey, I love that, most of the names on that list that you said, it's like, what are they even going to do? Like, what? It's not like most of those aren't touring comedians. They're like people that are going to have to put something together.
Like Workaholics or something?
Yeah. Workaholics and
Drunk History.
Comedy Bang Bang. All those things, they're going to have to come up with something for this event.
Yes.
You are a stand-up, but are you going to do Getting Dug with High?
No. I will be high.
No,
for
I didn't.
Sure.
That was not a question.
My slot is at 5:20 for some reason. they missed it by. They gave me an hour window to get to prepare, and it's inside in the they're calling it the Phantom Stage, and that's basically the same place we did April Foolishness.
Oh, okay.
April. Yeah.
The Shrine Auditorium.
But that's one of the stages. And then there's going to be two outdoor stages in the parking lot.
Okay.
And I'm happy to be on the indoor one.
All right.
I'm not an outdoor comedian, really.
It's a...
People would pass too much stuff to me. It's too distracting.
Yeah, that's a good point, Doug. It is an insane... I mean, you've been on lots of bills over the years with lots of different comedians. But this Festival Supreme, last year and this year both, it's crazy that they're able to get that many people for one night.
They might as well just put on the thing, everybody.
Everybody.
Now, appearing
right.
Tonight, everybody. You know, the performers might outnumber the audience.
We had Ken Marino in here a few days ago, and we were talking to him about the State, and he said, you know, they haven't done anything together in a long time.
Yeah, and it's 10 dudes and one lady.
10 dudes. Yeah, exactly.
And they got to come up with something. They can't just all come up and stand in a line and take questions.
He said that they were putting it together by email. They were bouncing a bunch of emails.
That's going to be good.
It's going to be glorious.
So, is it fun for you to play to a crowd that's not necessarily there to see you, Doug?
Oh, they're going to be there to see me. But
have you ever experienced that?
No, I'm not a fan of that in general, but this lineup is so strong that just being a part of it, even if people are sitting there going, who's this guy, they probably give me a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, you know.
Well, we find that at Foolishness that a lot of people come to watch all of the comedians, and they're there to have a good time, so you sort of...
Yeah.
They're not ready to fight you and take you on. They want you to succeed. They're happy to be there.
Yeah, it's like with comedy and music in a festival environment, you know, you get like you get a sample a bunch of different things. If you don't like something, go get in the beer line, you know. and at this thing, Festival Supreme, they're going to have like a circus of death or something like that, like
sweet
amusement parks and a haunted house and all kinds of stuff. So it's going to be a big deal.
Is there anyone in comedy that you haven't met yet that you admire?
Oh.
As I look at this, and I bet there's going to be a line out the door for people who've always wanted to meet Cheech and Chong, for instance.
Sure,
you know, because
sure.
They're
legends,
of course, for so long.
Yeah, I've always wanted to meet George Carlin. I hope to do that someday. Yeah.
Well, you will someday,
Doug. Bill Hicks.
And you'll meet Bill the same night.
I'm not trying to disparage those guys for being dead, but living ones, I've never really, I've been in the same play, you know, I've seen tapings of his show, but I've never actually met David Letterman.
Okay. Yeah, so, he seems like he's one that keeps to himself pretty much.
Yeah, and I have a little sadness about that, but what are you going to do?
But, Doug, I also feel like he's the kind of guy where if you would meet him, he would be so guarded, it wouldn't be all
It would
that.
Be it disappointing, be yeah. It'd be know? Like me, I'd be like Bean standing next to Taylor Swift.
Right, exactly.
I would just be like, and then he'd make fun of me and leave.
Yeah.
You've done his show, though, right?
Nuh-uh.
You've never done Letterman.
No,
that's a shock to me. As long as you've been so popular,
I'm a Kimmel guy. What can I say?
Yeah,
that's the only show that lets me come on.
you're a Kimmel guy by default.
I haven't pursued Letterman. I gave up on that a long time ago, just because it's a lot of work to hone that to get them to accept that short set, and then after you've done it, most people don't know whether or not you've been on Letterman. You know, like it's just not
okay.
It's not like it was back with Carson, where if you, an appearance on his show could make you and get people to come out and see you. Like right now, I've got enough visibility that a set on Letterman would be like a dream come true for me. But at the same time, it's not a
wouldn't
necessary thing.
Much, right?
Yeah, it wouldn't do that much for me. You know, but
what was your first appearance on a national talk show, Doug?
Ooh, that was. That was on the
Arsenio?
No, it's sadder than that. It was on the Dennis Miller show.
Really?
When Dennis Miller had a 5-night-a-week talk show.
I don't remember that.
Around the same time as Arsenio. And
yeah, he was one of those guys who tried to make it in late night, right?
Yeah, and it was, I believe, Carson was on his way out at that time. Like it was around then?
Yeah, early 90s, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, Carson was on his way out. So I was on Dennis Miller, but it was opposite one of Carson's, like, you know, towards the end.
Farewell
one of the last
shows.
one of his most watched shows.
Well, that's good timing.
So the exposure wasn't great, but.
So you woke up the next day and it was like it had never happened.
No, I felt good about it because I killed. I had a great set. And so I felt good. You know, like having Dennis Miller, it's no Johnny Carson, but at that time he was, pretty respected because
sure.
of Weekend Update. His HBO specials and stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so him being like, yeah, good set, you know, was like, that was exciting. And it was nice that he was nice to me, you know.
You mentioned the Circus of Death, by the way. I looked this up because I was fascinated with what that could be. Again, talking about Festival Supreme this weekend. It's more than a simple train ride. In fact, it contains two small trains that run along 300 feet of track. The trains will loop through an iceberg, a windmill stuffed with monsters, and a castle. Along the perimeter, there will be other attractions, all crafted by artists.
Well, this just sounds like they're just making stuff up.
Yes, right? Somebody wrote that without knowing anything about it.
So it's like they
said, comedy isn't enough.
Let's put on the world's greatest comedy show, but you know what? It's right around Halloween, so I guess we better do something for that.
Here's
a train.
We gotta do something spooky, yeah.
Train. do you know the Tenacious D guys very well?
Yeah, I've go way back with them. They
Jack did
were...
your Getting Dug with High, didn't he?
Yes, he just did that recently, and it. Some people wouldn't say it went well, but mostly people that try to protect Jack from bad publicity. But he was such a good sport. He really he came into it. You know, he was like, I haven't really smoked that much for the last 5 years. Like, that's just something I didn't know, that he was like, had moved on from it.
Right.
Which happens with a lot of guys when they have kids and stuff, you know. And I also just never knew that he was like more of a late night smoker rather than a smoke and then have to actually deliver, you know. And so on the show, he just, after taking a hit from a vapor pen that was pretty strong, and he took a massive hit, he just almost went to sleep immediately. He closed his eyes and was just like had this big smile on his face, and he was like just a big happy baby. But
and then you found yourself talking to yourself.
Well, or just trying to get him through it, because he brought his wife and he established a safe word with her if he got too high and wanted to leave.
Right.
And he yelled out cantaloupe very early on. And to his wife's credit, she just stayed in her seat and made him ride it out.
Nice. So
he got through the whole episode, but not without like having to get up and walk around. And
wow.
Give me a head and arms and shoulder massage.
Okay, I'm glad you finished that sentence. Thank you, Doug. Got nervous there for a minute.
Wow.
Jack Black, he should never get high again because that is what really he does to other dudes.
It was pretty good. It's not on
him.
Your face.
It's not him.
All right, we have to take a quick break with our friend Doug Benson here on the Kevin Beach Show on Twitter at Doug Benson. And DougLovesMovies.com. When we come back, we want to, A, we're going to give away some Festival Supreme tickets. And B, we want to talk about Doug Dynasty. This is your new special recorded for Netflix that debuts on Thursday night, November 6th. And it is awesome. And we'll talk to Doug about that when we return right after this on K-Rock. Doug Benson is here, of course, comedian, actor, podcaster. He's going to be at Festival Supreme on Saturday night at the Shrine Expo Hall and Grounds. We've been giving away tickets all week. Should we give away a pair right now?
Let's do.
Okay, how about caller 20 if you want to go to Festival Supreme, 1-800-520-1067. You can call right now and win those tickets. And if that's not enough, Dougie, for you, how about this? Doug Dynasty premieres on Netflix on Thursday, November 6th. Doug, this is the first thing you've done for Netflix. How did this come to be?
Netflix is super into the comedy specials now. If you're, browsing on there, a lot of the good ones have their specials there.
They did Aziz. They did Chelsea, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they're really getting into, lots of content that they create. And they realize that stand-up comedy is pretty easy to, I got a couple of movies on Netflix, The Greatest Movie Ever Rolled and Super High Me, and they both, they both get a lot of hits because, Netflix said, we'll take this this special off your hands, and so it's going to come out on November 6th.
Now, November 6th, that means midnight the night before, basically?
I guess. I don't know exactly when the stuff shows up on Netflix, but I just know that some things they just put on there and some things they set a date and promote. So I guess I'm privileged in the sense that I have a promotable date, And I'm looking forward to it being out there because it's fun to say to people, when they say, where can I get your stuff? You just say, watch on Netflix, because it feels like you're telling them they can watch it for free,
because
they don't really stop and tell you exactly how many things they watch that month and how that factors into the fee. So it's a nice place to have something like this.
Because you can fool people. I like it.
Yeah, and people can try it, too, and just watch a few minutes, see what they think. Some people turn it off the second they see me take a hit in an alley and then walk out on stage and then blow the smoke out. Like, I wanted to firmly establish, I am high during this.
I am this guy. Right.
I am going to be high during this entire special.
That, to me, says I need to watch the rest of it.
Yeah.
Hopefully
it'll hook people in rather than draw them away. But I'm just saying, if they think they're not into stoner humor, they might turn it off. But the reality is,
most of your act is not stoner humor. That's what people would be surprised about if they've never seen you before.
Yeah, well, it is stoner humor in the fact that all of it is stupid.
But it's not about pot.
It's more about a guy who smokes pot and my my misadventures.
Your observations.
Or things I think of, yeah.
Why do so many people film their comedy specials in Seattle? Are we just easy here?
I'm just going to hit all the big pot towns every time I want to, do a special.
So you're big in Denver, you're big in Seattle, whoever's legalizing next, you're big there.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to Alaska next year.
You're the king in Canada.
Canada's awesome. Like, Canada just, it just always feels really legal, even though it's not. There's just they just have a different attitude about it. Like I said, it's not legal, but they...
But they just don't enforce it?
Just doesn't seem like they do. I mean, Canada was where I pretty openly had my first smoke session with Snoop Dogg. But I think he gets away with it anywhere in the world.
Yeah, he's grandfathered in, I think.
Except for, when his tour bus goes through Texas.
Right.
That's when they get pulled over.
I'm not suggesting that our friend Jimmy Kimmel would ever smoke pot.
Please
don't misinterpret what I'm saying here.
He would not.
when he did his show from Austin, Texas earlier this year, he had Snoop Dogg on the Monday show to kick it off and Willie Nelson on the Friday show to say goodbye and ended up in the buses on both for both of those guests.
Wow.
And that's a great week right
that's
there.
That's a really fun week.
Now, have you had a chance to smoke with Willie?
I have not. He's on the he's on our wish list for getting Doug with High.
And you know he'd do it.
We'd love to have him on. Yeah, Jay Chandrasekhar was the director of Dukes of Hazzard movie, so he's pretty friendly with Willie. So he says he's going to try.
He's working
it up. Yeah.
By the way, for people who complain about the productivity of those on pod, Willie Nelson is in his 80s and is working more than the next the first 100 rock stars that you could name.
Yeah, I think it's it's a pretty good way to go for longevity. I don't know how much he drinks or what else he does, but if he's sticking to mostly weed, he's in it for the long haul. He's gonna do all right, that Willie Nelson.
That's a preservative, is it?
And you were saying earlier that no one is nicer to their fans than Taylor Swift. Bean said that. I've got to be clear.
Oh my gosh!
You don't know how nice I am to my fans. I have invited lots of my fans to smoke near a dumpster.
Wow, that is huge.
Yeah, yeah.
But by the way,
there's music playing from a nearby club, we'll dance around a little bit.
If I was a fan of yours, that would be awesome.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why Bean is right about the fans of Taylor. She is being nice to them, but she's also getting a lot of publicity out of it at the same
time. I know I've asked you this before, Doug, but since we're going down this path, have you ever been too high to perform, ever?
I've been in my head, like saying, oh, wow, this time I'm too high. Like, I shouldn't be this high.
Oh, you're questioning yourself?
Yeah, questioning myself. But that's also the paranoia that comes with some strains of weed and my reaction to it. So the answer is there's no one time where I, like, completely failed or ran off stage. Alcohol has been more of a, if I got the couple times that I've been too drunk to perform, that was a mess. Like, one time at the Improv here in L.A., I was drunk and I did a set and I thought it went fine. I came off stage and one of the other comics told me that there was one specific joke I told three times.
Oh.
Like, just sprinkled throughout the set like I hadn't said it before. I've never done that on pod.
That's awesome. We told you off the air, I think, that I'm going to be on a Drunk History next year. Oh, and I don't drink at all, Doug.
Yeah, so that's a really bad plan.
And
you're going to talk about the history of Taylor Swift?
No, I gave them a couple of options.
Oh, okay.
The one that I'm hoping that they'll pick is I will tell the story of the great American astronomer Clyde Tombaugh who discovered Pluto. I'm hoping that that's the episode that we get to do.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I don't care what you're talking about. I just want to see you drunk.
I know you do. And by the way, none of you are coming, Kevin. You're not going to be there. Dave's not going to be there. None of you guys are going to be
there. We're here for you, man. We're your support.
Yeah, but you're not going to be there to make it worse for me.
Oh,
I'm thinking about bringing Doug as my coach. I'm thinking about Doug coming with me, though, because he might be a guy who could make sure I don't get too out of control.
Well, you wouldn't get as sick off of the alcohol if you smoke a little weed.
Is that true?
I think so, yeah, because weed's really good for nausea. And
so, Bean, you need both.
What is your – my question to you, Mr. Benson, is what is your advice as to what kind of alcohol a guy who doesn't drink should drink if he wants to get drunk enough to do drunk history but not so drunk that he would be super sick?
I think the rule is nothing brown. Like, go with a clear vodka, yeah, and like maybe like a really expensive vodka because they say there's less of a hangover. Because everything that you're about to go through, I'm like, I do not envy you at all. Because
is it awful?
Well, because
no, it's awesome. What are you talking about? What's happening here?
I'm just saying that he's going to try to hold it together during the one time, the very first time you get drunk. You should not have to have to tell a complicated story.
Right, but you should just be able to enjoy it.
But yeah. Doug, that's the beauty of that show.
But he's also going to throw up. Like everybody throws up, and
right.
Like, I wouldn't do anything on purpose that I know the end result's going to be throwing up.
Oh, I don't want to throw up. I really don't want to throw up.
Well, see, you are going to, so you got to get used to that.
Oh, that's going to be so miserable.
Don't talk him out of it, Doug. For God's
you
sake.
Can't, no, there's no in. Getting out of a Comedy Central contract.
Well, the guys are awesome in that they said they would do it if the show got picked up for third season, which it has. So I think we're on. I think we're going to be there. And Doug, I want you there by my side. I want you to be my guy. All right.
All right. Well, yeah, let me know when it is, and I'll be sure to arrange my schedule accordingly. And I'm not sure exactly when it's going to happen, but Adam Carolla has committed to getting high with me on getting
yeah!
Dr. Pat.
Fantastic.
Okay. Yeah, so that'll be fun for everybody. It'll be watch Doug, watch Adam talk.
Well, that's what it is all the time.
Because even when he's high, I'm sure he's pretty much the same.
Here's my theory on weed.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll have a lot of deep thoughts under the influence, that's for sure. All right, I'm so sad that we're out of time. Doug Dynasty is awesome, by the way. I've seen it. It's coming to Netflix on Thursday, November 6th. It's a full hour of Doug recorded at the Neptune Theater in Seattle, and it's a great, great show. And, of course, the Festival Supreme is this weekend. You can still go to Ticketmaster if you want to get some tickets. There are some still available for this weekend. And you were at, what, 520 on Saturday, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Look for me somewhere on the grounds near a dumpster at 420. Uh-huh. And then come inside to the Phantom stage and see me. And then, like, right after me is Kumail and then Johnny. And after him is Natasha Leggero. And,
wow.
It's
a great lineup.
TJ Miller, a lot of great comics and a lot of fun.
I like that your best friend is a dumpster. It seems like everywhere you go, you hang out with a dumpster.
It's just it's just a good spot to go, because who spends any time standing next to a dumpster if you don't have to?
Yeah.
Well. You know, so nobody's going to come around. Not even cops check around the dumpsters unless it's
a
Law and Order episode.
Thanks, Doug.
Thanks.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 7:53.
We had a conversation a couple days ago on the air with our listeners about their various OCD afflictions that they have, and we had so many questions. And then one of our listeners is an actual doctor who specializes in treating people with OCD, contacted us and said, hey, I can answer any questions you got. So we're going to take her up on that and talk to an actual doctor who listens to this show, which makes me be suspicious of her anyway. That's coming up right after the top of the hour. First, though, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday.
But you're not going to talk about Taylor Swift, though, right?
No,
that's
God,
not going to happen.
That was brutal, wasn't it?
I wish it had gone on.
I can't remember a time before that interview began.
It was radio death.
It was
5 minutes of hearing about her experience with a singer.
5 minutes, my ass.
I agree.
It was like 5 weeks. We should have got the guy in with the most satellite TV dishes.
That would Al Jessup?
Al Jessup. We should have revisited Al Jessup. That would have been a much more interesting interview.
I love Cindy, and I loved her story.
She is. You can tell she's just a dope.
Not at all.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Why is she? Look, let's not even revisit this topic. You're wrong, and you're just going to have to move on.
Because she's like a 39-year-old cat lady.
She's 24.
So is Bean.
She's 24.
She sounded like she was about 12.
So does Bean.
That's what I'm saying.
Yep.
Speaking of women who need help, this Montreal teacher, this story just cheeses me off. Every time I hear one of these stories, it cheeses me off. Here's another example of a teacher who lost her job because of a little minor nudity. Jacqueline Laurent Auger was a drama teacher in Montreal. She's a Canadian actress who had moved to Paris and did some nudity in some legitimate films. They weren't like porn movies or anything. Did some nude scenes in some films when she was an actress. The films saw the light of day, and she lost her job at the school that she was teaching at because of those performances. That's bad enough, right?
Yeah.
The roles in question were performed 40 years ago.
That's just nuts.
40.
She's not even the same person.
40.
She's a 73-year-old drama teacher now who lost her job because of movies she did in the 70s that some student at the school unearthed.
Well, clearly she's unfit to lead now.
But she's teaching drama.
She's an actress who's teaching drama.
Right. In France.
In Montreal.
In Montreal.
Right.
Close enough.
So she was in The Secret Diary of a Nymphomaniac, Swedish Sex Games, and Natalie Escaped from Hell. But that was 40 years ago.
She's not at all running the risk that she's a 28-year-old hot high school teacher.
By the way,
right?
There are the teachers are actually boning their students.
Right.
This lady is not one of them.
No.
She's just teaching acting. And it was a Jesuit-run Catholic school. But everyone who's her students and everyone there is saying this is kind of ridiculous. And now apparently they are starting to change their mind. They have contacted her about potentially hiring her back, but as in a different, unspecified position where she wouldn't be teaching and interacting with students because she's a threat to herself and others.
Why are we so hung up on this?
It isn't even us. It's Canada.
I know, but why?
It's madness. Madness, I say. Hey, speaking of madness.
When we're running things, it's going to be very different.
It's going to be different. It's, gonna be, it's just going to be boobs akimbo.
You're going to be required to do porn.
And bang your teacher, students. Age of Ultron, right? Who's
yes,
with me?
Right.
That trailer?
That trailer is awesome.
It's ridiculous,
yep,
right?
Yep, yep. It looks very loud. I'm happy.
Oh, it's seven louds.
Yep.
Kevin, at least for you. And you've got Tony Stark in the Hulkbuster armor taking on battling the Hulk. Come on, right?
Yep.
Take all my money now.
It looks fantastic.
And if you haven't seen that on the internet.
When does that come out,
check
Ralph?
It out. 2015.
Oh, I hate it when they do that to you.
Check that out online, but also check out Zach Galifianakis' latest Between Two Ferns. He has a sit-down interview with dumb actor Brad Pitt. That's his reference, not mine.
Brad Pitts.
Brad
I believe
Pitts,
he calls him.
Bradley yeah. Pitts. Beginning of the interview, he is yelling off stage to his producer saying how upset he is going from interviewing the President of the United States to dumb actors like Bradley Pitts in his new movie, Furry, and 12 Years a Sav. It is just, it's one of the best ones I've seen in a long time.
It really is.
Pitt is just spectacular. And those usually are only as good as the person who's opposite Zach.
Right.
You know, like Bruce Willis was great. Brad is excellent in this.
Because they understand
one.
Their role, which they is to get it. Shut up and let him go.
You know who else was great? Sean Penn.
Yeah, he was
brilliant.
Great. Absolutely. And you know who was terrible? Bieber.
Bieber was awful,
Remember,
yeah.
Bieber tried to be funny.
Because he couldn't pull it off.
He couldn't
right.
stand to be the straight guy.
Yeah. Anyway, here's a little snippet from Zach Galifianakis interviewing Bradley Pitts on Between Two Ferns.
Interviewed the president last time, and now I gotta, you know, go back to interviewing dumb actors. That's all I'm saying. No, it's fine. It's fine. He's a big star. Bradley Pitts, thanks for joining me.
It's my pleasure.
Showers. Why don't you take them? You play a lot of people that are kind of Nazi haters, which is weird to me.
Why do you say that?
Because you look like Hitler's dream. Anyway, tell us about this movie, Furry.
It's Fury.
Fury. It's not Furry.
No.
When does that come out? On DVD. So, Brad, tell us about your charity work.
Yeah, it's something I'm very proud of. It's
ladies and gentlemen, Louis C.K. Stand up.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
He literally brings out
Louis C.K. to stand and start doing stand-up right in the middle of the interview.
Louis C.K. steps in front of Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
With a microphone.
Great to be here in New York, and it's a crazy town. There was a couple of rats on the subway, and I thought they were either Ebola or ISIS. I was like, get out of here, you know, get out of here, you rats.
Thank you. Do you think people focus maybe too much on your looks and don't even, you know, realize that you're just an actor?
Next question.
He spits his gum in his face.
By the way, when you hear him spit his gum, it lands, I don't know, 1 centimeter from his eye, Zach Galifianakis, and sticks there.
Well, that's it. That's,
that was strong.
That's set up, Kev.
Oh, I get it. But they did but then chew the funny. Same gum as well.
They did do that. That was for reals.
That is a funny, funny video.
My favorite bit is where he says, do you have a hard time maintaining a suntan because you live in your wife's shadow? Yeah, it's pretty strong. Today's celebrity birthdays. Sam Raimi's 55 years old today. Ryan Reynolds turns 38. Cat Deeley, host of You Think You Can Dance, also on Hulu's Deadbeat, 38 years old today. It's come to my attention. I've been mispronouncing Jessica's last name all morning long.
Oh.
It's Jessica Strop.
No.
It is?
That's what I've been informed.
Have you been informed that by Dave the King of Mexico?
No, I have
not.
Oh,
okay.
By several listeners.
All right.
I only know her from her number one fan, Dewan A. Johnson of Los Angeles, California, and he calls her Stroop, so I assume he would know. Yeah.
I heard it was Strop.
Huh. I'd like to suggest that we don't go to Dewan for the way we say names.
Either way, Jessica Stroop or Strop celebrates her 28th birthday today. That hasn't changed at all. And Weird Al Yankovic, one of our favorites, 55 years old today.
Al Yankovic blew his brains out in the late 80s after people stopped buying his records.
Well, that's true.
I don't think that's true.
He has lived on. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Okay, that's an option.
It's sure. A choice. I'm not positive I would have made the choice.
Speaking of Foo Fighters, by the way, tomorrow night, episode number 2 of their Sonic Highways airs on HBO at 11. This time they take on Washington, D.C. That's going to be fun because, you know, Dave's got those – he was born and raised in Virginia. He's got started out in hardcore in D.C., so he's got a lot of friends and influences there. So that's going to be a fascinating
episode. By the way, if you have DirecTV, it's also on at 8, which is awesome.
Okay.
Yes. 1 hour from right now, win your way into the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball with 30 Seconds to Mars. That's going to be a week from tonight at the Fonda Theater. K-Rock.com for details. Let's bring Dr. Shanna onto the program. She was listening to us a few days ago, Kevin, when we were taking calls from our listeners who had crazy OCD stories. And it turns out we couldn't talk to a better person about this because she is a doctor of psychology and actually treats people with OCD and anxiety disorders. Hi, Dr. Shanna. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you. When you were listening last week and you heard us talking to our callers, did we handle it all wrong by making fun of their OCD?
Did you handle it wrong? Well, there is a dark comedy, a very dark comedy to all of this.
No, we didn't find it dark at all. We just found it funny.
Well, I laugh at my patients,
okay.
But for the greater good, I'm trying to help them.
Now, most of the people who have OCD, and I'm sure that there's a wide spectrum of OCD, and there are people who have things that are pretty harmless, like our listener Hugo, who said he can't get out of the car until he finishes listening to the song on the radio. That's not something that's likely to have a huge impact in his life, but a lot of other things that people have ruin them, right?
That is correct.
And do they fall into a couple of main categories? How do you judge how painful it's going to be? How much damage?
Well, we do an assessment, or I do an assessment called a Y-box. And basically, I try to determine all of the obsessions that someone has. So the obsessions are really the unwanted thoughts, images, impulses, urges, the fears. And then I assess what kind of compulsions people are engaging in. And then tally up how many hours on a given day someone has spent compulsing. And when people are compulsing 4 to 8 hours or more a day, they're pretty impaired by this.
Wow. Yeah.
What's going on in a person's brain that makes this happen? And how common is it, doctor?
Well, there are about 2 to 4 million people in this country who have OCD. And it's a brain disorder, so there's something wrong with the wiring, and it's thought to be around the caudate nucleus, which is in the brain. So it's a neurobehavioral disorder.
Is it the type of thing that can be treated physically or just treated with therapy or a combination of both or what?
Excellent question. It could be treated with medication in part, but the primary treatment, particularly if someone is not able to take medications, is what's called exposure and response prevention therapy, which is a part of cognitive behavioral therapy.
So how would you do that with the girl, for example? Rachel called in and said that she brushes her teeth 15 times a day, and she's starting to brush her gums away.
We would, or I keep saying we, meaning my colleagues and I, would put her on a time limit. She would have 2 minutes to brush her teeth. We'd take the toothbrush away from her, turn off the water, and have her sit with the anxiety related to not cleaning for 15 minutes or until she felt, quote-unquote, right. And she would have to tolerate that anxiety and then not go back to brushing her teeth. She'd be done until the evening time.
Wow. And she would just freak out. I mean, she would feel like she was crawling out of her skin because she said she just couldn't stand the way her mouth tasted.
Yes. Ultimately, she would get used to the idea. She would habituate to it, and it won't be so problematic. But when your gums are eroding and you're ending up spending thousands of dollars at the dentist, hopefully one would be motivated to stop that kind of behavior.
What about the dude that called in and said that he couldn't stand watching people play air hockey? What is that?
The sound, yeah.
What is that?
That's just craziness.
Yes, it is.
That's an official doctor diagnosis. It's just crazy. But that's just, look, lots of people are annoyed by certain sounds. That doesn't mean that there's any kind of OCD or disorder going on here, right?
No, that's correct. These are just little quirks that people have. Really, when it becomes a disorder is when someone can't function in day-to-day life.
All right. This is the voice of Dr. Shanna on the Kevin and Bean Show. She's a Kevin and Bean listener, but she's also a smart one, a doctor of psychology. And we're talking about treating people with OCD. What about people who have thoughts that are scary to them and they never act on them, but they're still troubled by them?
Of course. Actually, that's more common than people realize. So people have terrifying thoughts like, what if I kill someone? What if I'm a pedophile? What if I set fire to the house? And these aren't necessarily bad thoughts until we interpret them as bad. They're neutral thoughts in treatment.
Those aren't neutral thoughts? What?
Yeah, I know.
What if I kill someone is a neutral thought?
Yes, it's a neutral thought until we have meaning to it. So if I had the thought, what if I kill you? If I don't have anxiety, I'm able to delete that thought like junk mail. Of course I'm not going to kill you. Ultimately, it's someone's choice to act on a thought.
But doesn't it bother them that they had that thought?
Of course, but we all have thoughts like that, as evidenced by watching an episode of Family Guy, South Park, watching a Quentin Tarantino movie. We all have these thoughts. This is why they're creating great media. So everyone has unwanted thoughts that are bothersome. Not everyone gets anxiety with those thoughts. And, of course, most people don't act on these thoughts.
Most of the people that and by the way, we said this on the air last week, Doc, I'm sure you heard it, that we could have taken calls for hours from people who have what they consider to be OCD. Mm-hmm. But most of the people don't even seek treatment, I would imagine. They just live with it. They're just able to have a relatively normal life. It's just that one quirk, right?
Yes, and that wouldn't necessarily be a disorder, but where it gets really interesting is, for example, postpartum OCD or pregnancy OCD. Imagine having a thought, what if I harm my baby? And the mother is horrified. She doesn't want to go to a treatment provider because they're going to think she's going to kill her kid.
Right, yeah.
Put her in the hospital, when really the problem is one of anxiety. It's that thought paired with anxiety. It's a very scary thought. So the mother may avoid caring for her baby because she's terrified she might hurt the baby.
Didn't that happen a few years ago with Marie Osmond, the television personality? Wasn't she one of those people who was really honked up about having a kid?
You know, I don't know that story, but if she had anxiety, it could have been a postpartum anxiety or postpartum OCD. So
it sounds like most of this really comes down to the anxiety over whatever it is.
Absolutely.
If there's no anxiety, there's no OCD.
That would be correct. But when people are compulsing all of the time, meaning they're not living their life, they won't necessarily feel the impact of the anxiety because they're compulsing all the time. And a compulsion is really a maladaptive response to an unwanted thought and to the anxiety. Anxiety is a natural part of life. We just let it pass.
Is this particularly difficult work, doctor, to leave in the office when you go home at night? Or are you troubled by some of the things you hear from your patients or the experiences that they're having?
Well, I'm typically not troubled, but I get the giggles.
Get the giggles?
Like, you've got to be kidding me. What did you just do? Or when patients will compulse in front of me, I'll say, you've got balls of steel to be doing that in front of me. I'm
can
here
you
to
give
help
us,
you and you're compulsing.
We're almost out of time. I can already tell this is a conversation. We're going to need to have another time, maybe if we can get you in here,
I
doctor.
Feel like compulsing is a code there, by the way.
It takes some calls. But can you give me an example? And obviously, you know, no identifying details, but can you give me an example of something that just kind of blew your mind that a patient did or thought or said?
Well, the first time that I heard that someone was afraid of their own semen, I was pretty shocked by that.
Afraid of?
Yes.
Huh.
My wife is apparently afraid of mine. I do know that. But that sounds unrelated.
But I could help her. She would have to be involved with you more intimately.
Nope.
She's. I can speak for her when I say she's not interested. So what do you do with a guy like that?
Well, imagine being 19 and you're horny as all get up, and you have to first talk about semen. You could look at pictures of semen. You could look at egg yolks. But ultimately, you're 19. You're going to
create your own, right?
Not in front of me, of course. That would be a little weird. But I have them bring their semen towel into treatment, and they have to touch it, and they have to normalize with their hands.
Oh, right, that's just kind of weird. I got to tell you, that's exactly how I would treat it. And that should never be the case.
I think, Dr. Shanna, I think you need to be treated for how much you enjoyed that. All right, listen, we're out of time. Let's continue this conversation another day. And could you do a favor for us, Doctor? Do you mind if I ask you if there are some resources that you can suggest or that you can offer, or you know, websites or places that people can go? Can you let us know so that we can put those up on our Kevin and Bean Facebook page for people who really do think they might need some help?
Absolutely, I've already done so.
Fantastic. All right, let's talk again sometime. Thanks so much for getting in touch with us, Doc.
Oh, thank you. With pleasure.
Thank you.
It is 7 minutes after 8 o'clock.
Kevin, I mean, Lister Kevin writes in about Seaman Towel. Saw them play at the Troub last night. They were very good. And then Carrie wrote in a couple days ago, and I wanted to mention this. She said she's one of those people who uses Kevin and Bean lingo, inside jokes in non-Kevin and Bean situations, and it's always getting her in trouble.
That doesn't
She
go well.
Says, I cannot stop using the reference of, I saw them at the Troub, which I think is such a funny phrase. A coworker of mine was having gallbladder issues recently. I was explaining that the doctors thought there was a rogue stone causing her pain. Of course, I said, I saw Rogue Stone playing at the Troubadour, to which there was complete silence in the room. Guys, I need help. A loyal listener, Carrie. So, Carrie, I apologize that we put you in that bad, bad situation, but that's what it is.
All right, let's talk about bad online dating. I don't know if you saw this story. A woman was accused of illegally entering a Thousand Oaks home of a man that she had gone on multiple dates with. She met online. She was trying to get into the house through the chimney.
Is that because he wouldn't let her in through the door?
Well, he wasn't home at the time.
Okay.
And we don't know if she knew that or not, but she literally got up on his roof and tried to go down the chimney. Then she got stuck, and the fire department had to rescue her.
There's a woman stuck in the chimney.
Firefighters then mixing up some dish soap and water, and down the chimney it went. First responders were having quite the time pulling out the 23-year-old Ventura County woman.
After they had dismantled about 5-6 feet of the chimney, her hands finally popped up, and her hands were filthy black.
She seemed totally cool until the first flag was her actually being on my roof 2 weeks ago.
Little did he know, a little foreshadowing. This is the guy who lives there. He met her online and dated a few times, and he says he cut it off. 23-year-old Genoveva Nunez Figueroa booked for illegal entry, and he wasn't home at the time.
Yeah, I hope she gets help. I hope she stays offline. Well, even if she was online, people are probably going to know who she is now. So, you know, that you're welcome. You know.
Thank
All right. I have a couple of thoughts here. First of all, unless you're Santa Claus, you can't get into someone's home through the chimney.
Do you think that was what was going through her mind? Because that's really the only – I was trying to think of any other reason you would think you could fit.
I think it is.
Yeah, I do too.
Because I don't think I've ever heard of another story of anyone being able to get down a chimney.
It's clearly just a story, but maybe that's what puts in your mind, maybe there's room.
Yeah, maybe so. All right, that's thing one. Thing two is, I think part of the reason this story caught fire online and on TV is because they met online. And I think that's bogus. I think the fact that they met online has nothing to do with this story.
He could have met her in real life and it would have ended up the same.
Exactly. For some reason, like, I had listeners writing me when they saw this story saying, this is why you shouldn't date online, which is a ridiculous reaction to that. First of all, many people, if not most people, meet online nowadays. It's not uncommon at all. And people are people, and there are a fair amount of crazy people online, fair amount of crazy people in real life. I think that's irrelevant to the story.
But I think the only issue is that maybe she was able to disguise her craziness through online.
But they had 6 dates, though.
No, that's on him.
Yeah, I would say so, too.
Look, this goes south in a lot of ways, and that is funny to us. Forgive us. But 1-800-520-1067, online dating.
Online dating it is.
That went south. We'll take your call.
Oh, this is going to be fun. We're taking your online dating disasters here on the Kevin and Bean Show based on that story at 1000 Oaks about a woman that had been dating a guy for a couple of weeks and ended up trying to get into his house through his chimney. Police had to be involved. Firefighters had to come and rescue her. He was like, yeah, I should have known there was trouble when I saw her up on the roof a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, how many times has she been on his roof?
I don't.
The hell?
Right when you call police.
They also had to take apart his chimney.
Yeah, completely.
To get her out. That's awesome. All right, let's start with Susie, who's in Long Beach. Hi, Susie.
Yes.
Online dating. Disasters.
I have several, but there's a really good one.
All right.
The guy showed up drunk, and I didn't catch it until a few sips into my wine, and then I realized I needed to down that wine very quickly to even be close to his level.
Wow.
Yeah.
This was the first time you ever met him?
Yep.
Showed up drunk.
First time.
Good
I
start.
Know, I was I was just like, okay. He said he was at dinner with, we were just meeting for cocktails. He was at dinner with coworkers, supposedly. And I think he had one too many sake bombs. I have no idea.
Yeah. But, was it was this a dating site like a Match.com or a Tinder or what?
This was my very first Tinder date.
All right.
Yeah, go figure.
Welcome to the suck. Thank you, Susie. Appreciate the call. Rebecca writes in, I can't call in, guys, but I wanted to share. I started talking to a guy on Tinder recently. It went on for several hours. It got into texting. We were heavily flirting. We even made plans to meet up over the weekend. Next thing I know, I wake up to this text. This is his wife. Who the F are you?
Oh, right.
Good times, Rebecca.
All yeah. right.
Yeah. Let's try Ryan in Anaheim, shall we? He's on line two. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hello.
What happened with your online dating disaster?
Well, it was Craigslist, and I'm married now, so I've seen Lifetime, so I knew that was a bad idea. But went on Craigslist and basically met this girl, went on two dates. Second date, we go to a little hibachi steakhouse in this strip mall, and I happen to mention, oh, my mom gets her nails done over there. Just, you know, conversation. Didn't call her after that date. You know, it didn't go badly, just didn't call her. She went to the nail place, and they had that big schedule book, and somehow saw when my mom was going to be there.
Oh, my God.
Set up her appointment to be there, went there three times, and my mom, you know, is a talker, so immediately said, oh, I have four boys, Ryan, Kyle, Chad, Evan, starts talking about all of us. And long story short, she throws a barbecue a couple weeks after their last nail appointment, and she's there. She got invited by my mom.
Wow.
Wow, indeed.
That's scary.
Did you pull your mom aside and say, hey?
Immediately to the garage. I'm like, Mom, come grab a beer with me. Mom, get me out of here.
Stage four clinger.
Tell the boys, seriously, don't talk to this girl. This is what's going on. She ended up never going back to that nail place again out of fear.
Hey, how about less personal information about your mom on a first date?
Yeah, by the way. I think half of this is on you, Ryan. She never should have contacted you again after you brought that up.
Well, you know, Manny Petty habits are traceable, you know. So
sure.
I know that.
Okay. Sure. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Let's go to Paola on line three in Santa Ana. Hi, Paola.
Hi, guys. How we doing?
Very good. Thank you. Online dating disasters.
Well, I got an OkCupid account, and I ended up going on this date with a guy that I was talking to for a while who looked really familiar, who looked a lot like my ex. Turns out it was my ex's cousin just trying to get information for my ex.
Wow. So yeah. your ex sent him in undercover to try to find out what was up with you.
Mm-hmm.
How basically. About that?
Now, does yeah. that? Now, wait a minute. Who's the bad one here?
Her ex is. I think her ex is.
I don't know. I'm saying, is there a lot to find out about this girl?
Not at all. I guess he was just trying to figure out what was going on. And turns out my ex was actually at the same place while we were eating.
Okay. That's creepy.
All right. It's no longer you. Now it's him.
Okay. Thank you for the call. Let's try Heather in Encino. She's on line six.
Hi, Heather.
Good morning, Kevin and Bina, Lisa May.
Hello.
Ooh, hi, Heather.
Hello.
What's going on?
Take it
so
easy.
My first date was on.
Kevin, you know all Heathers are hot. You
yeah,
know that,
I do,
right?
But okay. I don't have well, to.
Let's just spend a little time creepy. with our guests.
But don't go all creepy.
I wasn't going. I was just saying hi. I just want to see what's up.
Ooh, hi Heather.
Ooh. All right, Heather, you have the floor.
Okay, so plenty of fish. First date was great. Plenty in common. Great first kiss. Everything was good. Second date, we go to his house to watch a movie, which I guess should have been a red flag.
Okay.
We're watching the movie, decide to start making out a little bit. We lay down, and he starts humping my leg.
Humping and your not, leg?
Oh, my God.
Like a dog.
Like a dog?
Just above my knee. It's grinding on my leg.
Oh, that's charming.
Had you ever dated Brad Williams before, or was this the first time?
I wish it had been Brad Williams. That would have been better. Oh,
so what is, it, what is it? What does a girl do in that situation? Like, what do you say?
I'll be well, right
so,
back.
No,
down,
so
boy.
I kind of pushed him, and I was like, what are you doing? And then the best part is he goes, wait, so you're telling me you're not having fun? And I was like, not really, but Okay. So we sit up, we start watching the movie again. He tries to start making out with me again and starts humping my leg again.
So right, that was Heather, just his thing.
Heather, I got to tell you, the first time's on him, but the second time's on you.
No,
I mean, he
no,
humped your leg.
The first thing was good. I figured it couldn't be all bad.
That's awesome. All you must have really wanted to see that movie, Heather.
It was a good movie.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:53.
Coming up at 9 o'clock this morning, we got more tickets for you to join us 1 week from tonight, October 30th at the Fonda Theater for the K-Rock Halloween Costume Ball with entertainment by 30 Seconds to Mars, you guys, plus a $5,000 costume contest. So we got tickets for that, and Dr. Drew will join us as well for his weekly visit. First, though, Rob is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Oh, nothing. I was just chatting with Milana Weintraub.
What? Lily from the AT&T commercials?
Oh, you guys weren't having a little conversation?
Wait, we talked about her like 2 hours ago.
That's how I roll.
You were talking to her on the phone or online or what?
No, online. We were just chatting back and forth. But we're going to have her on the show. She's going to come in soon.
Now?
No.
Is she on her way down here right now?
No, no, creepy. Not now.
Let's find out Bean's next day off.
Let's schedule it for this.
Because we don't want to run her off,
yeah,
right?
We don't. She seems very nice. And right. She's a longtime fan of the show. And we just don't want to subject her to
Extreme Bean.
The mega radiation of creepy that comes
I haven't been
Bean.
Creepy at all about her, by the way. You're the one who brought her up and said, hey, we have to talk about this girl. She's so cute, we have to get her on the show. That was you.
Yeah, but
coming out of
reason,
your pie hole, it's worse.
Very different.
It's really anything.
Like that caller we just had. You were just...
Yeah, what happened? I wasn't making that up, right?
No.
She's like, I didn't do anything.
Oh, hello to you.
Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
It's like the scene in the old horror movies where the butler would answer the creaky door, and you didn't even say anything. You just look at that guy and say, oh, that guy's bad news right there. You can just tell right out of the gate.
Look, her name was Heather, and she had an adorable, sexy voice. That's all. I just thought it would be fun to give her some time, give her some space to tell her story.
For some reason, I could say the same thing, although I wouldn't use the word adorable.
Right.
Adorbs, you're right.
She has a great voice. Lisa could say it, Ralph could say it, even Muggs could say it. And it's not as hurtful as when Bean says it. There's some extra juju on it when it comes out of your pie hole.
Well, first of all, racist.
Yeah, I'm not Jewish at all.
That's not
more than me.
That's not fair.
When is Milana Lily from the AT&T commercials coming in?
Whenever
your next day off is.
We're working on it.
Okay. Tomorrow?
No, I'm sorry.
Now
I'm sorry I brought her up. I don't want to get her tainted. Get Bean all over.
No, nobody wants that.
Can't wash that off. She did mention via Twitter, by the way, that she's a longtime listener to the Kevin and Bean Show, and that Kevin and Bean have always been sort of paternal figures for her. And does that make this crush weird? Yes, dads, it does, she wrote.
She's very funny on the Twitter,
too.
She's
very funny on Twitter, yeah.
She said even she's not sure how to pronounce her last name, which I respect.
This is weird. Speaking of weird and creepy, I'm surprised Bean's not involved in this story. TLC has announced they're reassessing the future of their hit reality show, Here Comes Honey Boo Boo.
How is this still a thing?
Honey Boo Boo is still a thing. And the problem is that Mama June, who recently broke up with Sugar Bear? Mm-hmm. Am I getting this right?
I think so.
I have my program handy, so I don't know all the players.
Sugar Bear, right?
She broke up with him. She is now romantically linked to, well, as you can imagine, a convicted child molester.
What?
Yeah.
What?
She is now dating a man who has been convicted of child molestation.
Oh, my God.
That's worse news for Honey Boo Boo than it is for June.
Wow.
This story gets better.
The
child that he was convicted of molesting is a relative of Mama June's.
Oh my God.
This story is not real.
It is real.
She's in Israel?
Oh my God.
That is so
that
vile.
That's terrible. Jesus.
This is the Bean episode joke.
Ralph said it is real. All right. Her favorite foods are sketty and butter.
The relative of Mama June's was 8 years old at the time of the incident. The man was recently released from prison, is a registered sex offender in Georgia.
Wow.
And TLC is just, can you imagine what it's like over in the offices of TLC this morning in light of this news?
I don't know.
Are you effing kidding me?
Yeah, to me that's...
We've given these inbred, mongoloid, country back people, they're everything. They owe us their entire lives, and now we have to deal with this?
pretty easy decision, though. There's no way to go forward with that.
How can you?
You can't.
Right?
It's just that's easy.
I just don't understand how a mother of a young daughter would ever want to associate with a convicted child molester. That's what I just don't get.
Convicted child molester in her family.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you're dating him to lure him to a dark room somewhere where you're going to drop him into a well and cover it up and he's never heard from again, there's no reason you should have contact with this person.
That's freaky.
It's disturbing on so many levels.
I like to make love.
All right, easy.
Maybe she's working with that show.
With Chris Hansen?
Catch a Predator.
Let's move on to something lighter, shall we? Do yourself a favor. Go online and check out Between Two Ferns. Zach Galifianakis interviewing the actor he calls Bradley Pitts. Brad Pitt is on there to talk about his new film, Fury. Or as Zach calls it, Furry. It is hysterically funny. Funny or Die, of course, puts these together, and they're always very entertaining. Real quickly, here's just a little of Zach interviewing Brad.
Interviewed the president last time, and now I got to, you know, go back to interviewing dumb actors. That's all I'm saying. No, it's fine. It's fine. He's a big star.
Bradley Pitts, thanks for joining me.
It's my pleasure.
Showers. Why don't you take them? You play a lot of people that are kind of Nazi haters, which is weird to me.
Why do you say that?
Because you look like Hitler's dream. Anyway, tell us about this movie, Fury.
It's Fury.
Fury. It's not Furry.
No.
When does that come out? On DVD. So, Brad, tell us about your charity work.
Yeah, it's something I'm very proud of. It's
ladies and gentlemen, Louis C.K. Stand up.
Now, then Louis C.K. actually walks onto the set.
Stands in front of Brad Pitt and starts doing bad stand-up.
Hey, how's it going, everybody? Great to be here in New York, and it's a crazy town. There was a couple of rats on the subway, and I thought they were either Ebola or ISIS. I was like, get out of here, you know, get out of here, rats.
Yeah, there we go.
You think people focus maybe too much on your looks and don't even, you know, realize that you're just an actor?
An SE actor.
Next question.
Brad spits his gum in his face.
Brad's very always had a great sense of humor.
Yes, and he's great in this.
He's great.
Zach asked him, when you and George Clooney dress up in your tuxedos, do you ever look at each other and go, aren't we a couple of fancy dams? And Brad goes, no, that's never happened.
If you're not familiar with Between Two Ferns, you might think that Brad Pitt is angry because of this. But he's just being a great straight guy to Zach Galifianakis.
Yeah, that's the premise is there. Everyone who goes on the show reacts as if they don't want to be there and that they're just putting up with this idiot who has no idea what's going on.
So
and they
great.
Just act annoyed, basically. And it's very, very funny. Today's celebrity birthdays. Jessica
Strop.
Mm-hmm. It is Strop.
Yep. We found the clip where she's
we
says it.
We've sourced this.
She says it herself.
And it is
play the ID mugs. Play it again. Play for us.
Hold on one second.
All right.
Gotta get to it.
We went right to the source.
Here it is.
Hey, it's Jessica Strop from 90210, and you're
maybe listening
to Kevin Bean on the world famous K-Rock.
Let's hear it one more time.
Hey, it's Jessica Straub from 90210, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean on the world-famous K-Rock.
So it's Jessica Straub.
It's weird that we're playing this on the 23rd of Rocktober. Oh. I thought we threw him off with the Jessica Straub clip.
Yeah. So it's not Straub, and it's not Stroop, it's Straub. Jessica Straub. Straub.
Okay, all right.
Settled. Straub. Jessica Straub.
Still.
Yes. Celebrates her 28th birthday today. She's lovely and talented. Kat Deely, speaking of lovely and talented, she is 38.
What the hell?
Jeez, I feel like it's I should give some money to the Salvation Army.
Omar's going to come in here and kill us.
Is it Carol of the Bells? Is it Christmas time already?
We got to wear sweaters?
Kat Deely celebrates her 38th.
A lot of jokes just for us.
It is for us today.
Sorry about that.
Yeah. Also, 38 is Ryan Reynolds. Sam Raimi, the very talented director who gave us the Spider-Man movies before the other Spider-Man movies, 55 years old, and Weird Al Yankovic. So my hands were crying, like I could care less. That means you do care. And yeah, you're a little moron. Hey, you better slow down and use the right pronoun. Show the world you're no clown. 55 years old today.
55?
That's what I said.
Wow, he's looked 27 his whole life.
I know, it's crazy, isn't it?
He who's tired of Weird Al is tired of life.
So true. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Ozier on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.
Still blown away by his performances in the Red Bull Sound Space last week. We had him on the show. Great guy, great interview, nice Irish boy. And if you missed those performances, you can see them. They are up at KROQ.com. And let me also say this. If you didn't see Alt-J performing in the Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock yesterday, that's up for another few more hours. And you should go watch that as well because that was very, very good. They're very, very talented. All right, let's catch up with our friend Dr. Drew Pinsky. As you know, the co-host of the Loveline Show. He also does the HLN Show, Dr. Drew on Call, Monday through Thursday at 6. Now, Drew, we have something we want to ask you about, but I understand, according to our producer, Dave, you have some late-breaking news for us as well.
Well, I just assumed you guys wanted to talk about Jodi Arias. I know how you love her.
What's going on with her?
Now, wait. She was the one that was on trial for stabbing her boyfriend slash husband like 70 times a year and a half ago?
And shooting him and being convicted of murdering. And there's no doubt she's a murderer. She's convicted, but they couldn't put her to death. So that was a hung jury. So they're going to do the entire trial again to try to determine whether she should get the death penalty or not.
They're going to start from scratch.
They have already started from scratch, back with the police that did the original investigation.
Oh, no.
The interrogation.
Why does it work that way, Drew?
And then, I know anything about the law, the legal system. It's a mystery to me, but they're going to put her on the stand again for a couple of weeks. But, Kevin, I'm sorry to tell you,
yeah.
No cameras in the courtroom.
Oh!
Now, is that good news for your wife or bad news,
for
Kevin?
My wife, it's bad news. For me, it's good news.
Until the trial is over, then they're going to release the tapes, probably in a box.
Really?
In a Blu-ray box set.
But they are actually releasing the tapes afterwards, so HLN will have a chance to go through it twice.
That's weird. Now, Dr. Drew, when they do this, sometimes they decide not to have another trial because they don't want to spend the money. But sometimes they do it because they really feel like justice wasn't served the first time around and they've got a better chance at conviction. What do they think is going to unfold differently if you're interviewing the same people about the same circumstances the second time around?
Well, if there's another hung jury, if they can't make a decision again, then the death penalty comes off the table is basically what happens.
They're just hoping a different jury will come to that.
Well, but you keep saying they. Really, the way I've come to understand is it's the defense, it's the individual who is accused who sort of drives this.
Oh.
She could have said, all right, I'm done, that's it. But no. You know, it's Jodi, guys. Yeah.
So what does she want out of this? What is she hoping the outcome is?
That
she'll be acquitted?
But if you remember, she did an interview after. No, she can't be acquitted. She's guilty of
murder.
Okay. Is she life in prison or is she going to death? And if you remember, after her trial, she told a reporter that she wanted death. She wanted I think she even called it suicide by you know, the system.
Right.
But her family freaked out and she said, well, I just couldn't do that to my family. So allegedly,
hasn't she done enough to her family?
Oh my God! And then poor Travis's family is going to sit through another trial. The sex tapes are rolling again.
Oh, so, are you horrified by this? In that you know you're going to have to spend a lot of time on your HLN show talking about it, or are you kind of jacked for it?
Listen, I'm interested because it's always an opportunity to talk about interesting human behavior and stuff. So I bring a good. I have such a bunch of new panelists, and so it's going to be a whole new game for me. So I'm interested.
And she's crazy.
Newer stuff is coming up. I mean, it's really interesting insights people are having, so I'm kind of interested in
that. And folks, if you haven't seen Dr. Drew on Call weeknights on HLN, he has 24 panelists. They get 8 seconds each to talk. It's a fascinating new dynamic
on television.
And they're
all like some kind of supermodel.
Yes, all of them are models.
I don't get it.
And the way Bean describes it, it just sounds like a great show. Thank you.
So, Doc, speaking of great shows, how long have you been hosting Loveline here on K-Rock?
Over 30 years.
Over 30 years. Okay. Until this week, had you ever had Larry King on as a guest?
No, that was the first. But there's another piece of this. It's sitting Larry King across from Mike Catherwood.
Yeah, exactly. Now, yeah. Larry came in with his wife, and I understand that. Look, I think Larry's still pretty sharp. I still watch his interviews on Aura TV. I think he's still got it. Yep. But he seemed very confused by the pace of the Loveline show.
You know, he wasn't just the pace. It was Rudy that particularly confused him. And I remember when we had Cloris Leachman on, she had the exact same reaction. She got sort of angry with us as though we were not paying attention to her and we were sort of trying to pull one over on her. It's like, no, that's just, we're just moving along to the next topic. We Cloris, please join us, please.
Yeah.
Do you have footage or something?
Yes, we do. We have some tape. So Larry and his wife, Sean, are in studio, and you guys have a caller on the line, and Larry thinks, hey, we're just talking to the caller. But instead what happened is Mike became Rudy and started chiming in, and that's where you can see it kind of went off the rails a little
bit. Rudy's at the window. Right. Hang on. Rudy, come on, Rudy.
Hey, what's up, dog?
Hey, Rudy.
Hey, what's up, fool?
I wanted you a chance to meet Larry and his wife.
Oh, damn, dog. Larry King, dog.
Yeah, it's Larry.
You know, like in the hood, dog, we call you Lauren because, like, you know, the king.
A 46-year-old woman with a 26-year-old guy. It's just sex.
It's just sex, bro.
Does he just, like, talk over people?
You just, like, totally talked over Rudy. I can't believe you were, like, Miss Rudy.
I thought you, like, known for, like, como si, interviewing people, and you just, like, talk over me like that.
It's all right. He's ready for you. But
I wasn't prepared to interview you, Rudy, and I was not prepared to be interrupted.
Damn, fool.
We actually invited Rudy into the room, Larry. I don't know if you're listening.
Wait a minute.
Or not.
I don't understand where I am now. Now I'm losing it.
Hey, that's one.
There's,
like,
a guy named Rudy came into the door.
There he is.
I'm right here, dog.
Don't
I know.
You see,
I like.
Larry?
You're the 19-year-old.
No, that was Ricky. That was Ricky.
This is who Rudy.
This is Rudy. Rudy's from.
What is your problem, Rudy?
Rudy from.
Stop
Boyle
making
High.
Faces at me,
Rudy's
Sean.
Rudy's
this
from
is radio.
What is happening? So Sean is trying to help her husband out by saying, no, we invited Rudy in to say, hey, this is a character, it's a different person, we're not talking about Ricky, the guy on the phone, right, doctor?
Yes, Ricky was the caller we just had, who was a young guy with an older woman. That's why Larry was answering that question.
At what point did you start feeling sick that Larry was completely lost and you were embarrassing him?
It wasn't that because he came clean. He goes, what's going on? I can understand why somebody get lost when Mike turns into Rudy and we're talking to Ricky. And I understand that. And I appreciate that Larry said, I'm lost. What am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
But what was difficult is he started getting angry. We were doing something to him, or trying to confuse him, or pulling over on him.
He thought maybe you were trying to make him look bad,
or something. And that was the last. Of course, we have deep reverence for Larry. We love him, and so that was upsetting. That was disturbing. And of course, Mike forged on. Mike did not pull back.
Oh, that's Mike. Sure. Yeah, Mike. I think we actually have a little bit more. I think this is the end of that part of the conversation. We helped train Mike, so he puts his.
He mentions that more than frequently.
He puts his foot on the gas.
Is that
okay,
true?
Rudy, out of here. Out. Thanks, Mike. Get in here. Mike. Thank you. Rudy's out.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
Sean, I didn't like the way you looked at him.
What's the matter with
you?
You
are a dominatrix. So glad we were able to help so many people.
Back and forth with Sean and Larry.
This is one of the highlights of my career this night.
I texted Mike the day after you had Larry King on Loveline. I'm like, how is Larry King? I mean, he's kind of a broadcast legend. And Mike said he dominated. So
yeah, he's awesome. No, listen, Larry was great. And the Loveline is not an easy show to do. And he's bringing his wife. And they have a podcast. And they're just starting to work together. But he rolled with it all the way. Except
I'm
for
a
that
professional.
Moment.
Look it up in the book.
You can listen to Live Line with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood and sometimes Larry King and his wife on K-Rock Sunday through Thursday nights at 10. And then HLN is going to be all Jody all the time starting tonight at 6. Thanks, Doc.
You got it.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 9:42. The 23rd of October.
Just give it up, man.
I know. He's too good.
He's
Jonathan
one
Quick
aspect,
in the goal, man.
One aspect of his career that he's bulletproof in.
Yep. He can't be beat. But that continues to be my question. If he can do that with one thing, why not more? Why not others?
It takes all his energy to do that.
That's the point. He can do one thing. Right. If he focuses all of his energy on one thing, he can get it done. But this job requires multitasking.
It requires like 20 things.
Right.
So he's good at one and bad at the other 19. That's
what he's good boy.
He's good at that. He's really good at that. All right, Ralph is here. Time for our final look at the showbiz beat here on a Thursday morning.
I'm getting increasingly frustrated with these United States of America.
Why? Frustrated, first of all, is what
frustrated.
You meant to say, Kanye.
That's right. I'm frustrated. It's the thing. It's this woman gets toys pulled off the shelves because she doesn't like it.
Yeah.
In Florida. You're just talking to that Toys R Us guy.
Yeah.
And now Chrissy Teigen. Familiar with model Chrissy Teigen? The lovely and talented Chrissy Teigen?
Yeah.
John Legend's wife?
Yeah.
She, in reference to the shooting in Ottawa, Canada.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The shooting at that country's parliament.
Mm-hmm.
Tweeted... active shooting in Canada, or as we call it in America, Wednesday, regarding that. as a no doubt it was a political statement about the state of gun control in the United States and how everyone's so shocked about a shooting in Canada, but in reality it happens constantly in the United States.
We like once a week there's some sort of mass shooting here, right?
Right, we need to address it.
America.
Well, she has now received so many death threats that it's hard to keep track with.
Unbelievable.
Is there any response between, is there any response between no response and death threats? Apparently not on the internet.
What's happening?
You should see some of these tweets. Rot in hell, bitch. You effing C-word, you'll get yours soon enough. Wish ISIS would give Chrissy a permanent haircut.
Oh, my God.
These are the tweets that she's getting in response to that innocuous tweet.
That's incredible.
It is ridiculous.
And it's not like the internet to go crazy about something small and stupid.
Right. And as Chrissy herself writes, this is where Twitter needs to step up their game. Do you think Twitter needs to step in and pull the ticket of people like this who are doing this kind of stuff on their website?
I think that would be
certainly
great.
I think death threats would be.
Yes.
Now, you don't want to chill people's freedom of expression. You want them to be able to use the internet in a free and open way and to say how they feel. But do you think Twitter has the right as a company to be able to step in and say you can't threaten someone's life
I
on
do.
Our site?
But then there's a fine line, too, because stuff I disagree with strongly or hate, I'll just type back die.
Yeah, look how many people Kevin has wished death on
true.
Twitter.
But that's not I'm going to kill you. That's disagree with you strongly.
But who do you want making that decision?
That's my
whether
question.
Whether you're actually saying someone is sexually assaulted, or it's just
that's
a
my way of saying you're really wrong.
Someone playing hockey,
right?
You don't know who do you want making those decisions.
Now, in this Chrissy Teigen case, case, Ralph, and I know I'm asking you to speculate on behalf of people who were you don't know at all, but do you think people were most upset that she felt that it was an anti-gun tyrant, like they're NRA people, or do you think people thought she was being unpatriotic by complaining about gun violence in America?
I get the sense that those people that were reacting in this way are one and the same.
Okay.
Yeah.
Either way, whichever side they're cheesed off on.
Well, I think those two things for them are intertwined.
Got it. America equals guns.
That's right. And if you attack the gun rights of gun owners in America, you are being anti-patriotic, in essence.
America!
That's an attack on America. An attack on gun owners is an attack on America in the eyes of many.
I give supermodels an extremely wide berth on what I'm willing to tolerate from them, by the way.
Well, okay.
Well,
I don't know.
There's that.
What to do with that?
I'm just saying, whatever Chrissy Teigen wants to write, I'm fine with.
What? Should we congratulate her because she knows where Canada is? Is that what you're saying?
Sure.
A little patronizing,
I have
to say.
In comparison to other models. Yeah.
I'm for her. I'm Team Chrissy on this one.
Anyway, I'm just disturbed.
No, it is. It's absolutely a problem, and I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I guess the answer for her is just to block all those people who say stupid, inane, and harmful things to her. But you're right, it's a much bigger problem.
Some people were saying that she was being unsympathetic or insensitive to the shooting in Canada, which she wasn't even really addressing. She was using it to make a point about the state of American affairs. And so,
I know the first thing I thought when I saw it was, wow, that's weird that happened in another country, because it seems so rarely to happen.
That's ours. That's our thing.
That's our thing.
Get your hands off gun violence, Canada. That's our thing.
USA! 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 USA!
Yeah, we're number one. Speaking of politics and celebrities,
Lindsay Lohan!
In the news?
She's going to run for office?
Well, close.
She's got my vote.
She is supporting a presidential hopeful in the country of Brazil. She is dabbling in Brazilian politics.
How did that...
She has already had the wax. Now she's getting involved in the politics. She's all about things Brazilian.
How is she getting involved in Brazilian politics?
Send out a tweet of support for Assio Neves, presidential candidate for Brazil, saying that he is her choice. And he will bring positive changes in Brazil. What kind of changes? Well, we're not sure. But a helicopter that he owns was recently seized by the federal police in Brazil because it was carrying 4.5 tons of cocaine. Maybe that's the kind of change he's looking
for.
And frankly, so am I. I'd like to see that kind of change. Congratulations to Iggy Azalea and boyfriend Nick Young of the L.A. Lakers. They are the new faces of Forever 21.
Okay.
So now they will be selling you clothes.
Hmm.
I guess that's what Iggy means by the murder business. Yeah, back in the murder business, selling T-shirts and jeans, yo.
She is gangsta.
She is gangsta.
We were wrong to doubt her.
I didn't know she's selling sundresses.
Hey, Ralph, speaking of basketball, which, as I understand correctly, starts 1 week from tonight.
Yes.
Are we just going to let Dave not do a song again this year?
Oh, he's doing
is that what we've just decided? Oh, he is.
Update. He's doing a Clipper song.
He's doing
a song. Because I had not heard that update, and I was worried that the time was nigh.
He missed last season, but this season, for sure, Clipper song for
Dave. I believe he's picked out a song and written lyrics.
Fantastic.
He is well on his way.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, regarding Dave, we need to have a conversation.
Okay.
Perhaps an intervention.
Is this for his cat shirts?
No, it's for his Halloween costume.
What's his Halloween costume?
Here's the thing about Halloween costumes, people. Do it or don't do it. All right? Lisa, that's right. I'm looking at you.
I don't do it.
That's right. Except that one time when you did it, but
well,
you didn't really do it.
Well, because I had to do it, but you I didn't want to do it, so I barely did it.
If you have to do it, if your heart's not in it, don't do it.
Dave's got this Halloween costume. It's just unacceptable. Have you seen a beer mug? You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, Kevin?
Yeah, I do.
Now, I don't.
Is he going to wear it to the K-Rock Halloween costume ball?
I think he is.
Because there's a $5,000 first prize for that best costume.
And you think he's making a play for it?
I don't know. Maybe there's a prize for the worst.
It's just a piece of polyester with a slice of pizza printed on it and has a hole in it. And you just put it over your head.
It's a life-size piece of pizza.
But it's not. Don't say it like, ooh, it's made out of foam, and
nope.
It looks, oh, it's a realistic pepperoni hanging. It's like a photo of a piece of pizza printed on a piece of thin polyester cloth, and you just put it on your head.
What's up?
It's like a poncho with a picture of pizza on it. It's like, oh, I'm a slice of pizza. No, you're not. You're barely even doing anything. You're sticking your head through a hole of a poorly printed polyester silkscreen picture of a piece of pizza.
What's up?
You lazy F.
So it's really just like wearing a hat or something. That's right, a costume.
Exactly.
Ralph, I don't think you were here yesterday when it came. He was so excited. He ripped the box open. He's like, this is the best thing ever.
That's what they say. What's that? Oh, it's my costume. It's going to be great. No, it's not even a costume. It's good. I get to wear pants.
What?
He's happy because he can wear whatever pants he wants and whatever shirt he wants, and he just puts that over his head. It's not a thing, right?
Well, no, but I applaud his
laziness.
Slothfulness, yes. What's up?
Dave sucks! Worst costume ever.
I don't know.
It's the least effort you can get.
Yeah.
At least Lisa, when she was her horrible lesbian, who had keys and cigarettes rolled up in her sleeve and a t-shirt and glasses.
Boots.
Because you know all lesbians wear glasses and smoke and are...
Right.
No, that was weak. That was really weak.
And are,
let's be honest.
Apparently
still,
working in apartment complexes with a lot of keys on their ring.
That was stupid.
At least she had to collect things. She had to make a little bit of effort. She had to go to like three different drawers and get something out.
It was barely better than this.
But just to put a piece of polyester over your head and walk around, that's not a thing.
Dang.
Well, it's a thing. It just might not be a thing for you. It's a thing for Dave.
Today's...
What's up?
Stop saying that. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Yes!
What?
Jessica Straub celebrates her 28th birthday today. Kat Deely from So You Think You Can Dance is 38. Ryan Reynolds, also 38. Today, Sam Raimi, very talented movie director, turns 55. And Weird Al Yankovic is 55 today.
With aluminum foil. Never settle for less. That kind of rap is just the best. To keep your sandwich nice and fresh. Stick it in your cooler.
What's up?
Couldn't Dave just wrap himself in aluminum foil?
He could. It'd
be a burrito or something.
But that'd be too much work.
That would be. So, you'd have to do something.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Then at that point.
Right.
Bastard. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her out tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Friday, so we'll have the movie beat. We also have Natasha Leggero from Festival Supreme, which is this Saturday. We have some new Halloween songs for you. We have RJ Bell, who gives us his NFL picks, who's been quite good this year.
Oh, Kevin. Mm-hmm. I think you and I might have to put a little wager on the line for this weekend.
My Arizona Cardinals are going to devastate Ralph
Eagles. Two teams, both 5-1. facing off in the Valley of the Ass, I think. Isn't that where it's happening there in Arizona?
It's Valley of the Sun.
Oh, whatever.
I think
whatever.
That's how it's known. Yeah. And you might know him from The Walking Dead. His name is Andrew J. West, but he plays Gareth. And Gareth eats people.
Oh,
that's a thing.
Gareth.
Oh, Gareth.
That's a thing. So we have him on tomorrow morning's Kevin and BJ.